Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 24th day of November, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is calling all men. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Kumru Ambeth. Callers are welcome. We do ask that you mind your language when you do call, and also be aware that others may want to participate, so keep calls and comments as short as possible, and also as best as possible anyway. Try not to talk over each other. Our website, which we update almost on a daily basis, is PastorDan.net. A lot of information there. My reading list, recommended reading list tab is growing almost daily as well, as we find more and more phenomenal books that have been written that verify who we are in our history. Many of them are titles that you've probably never even heard of. I know I haven't before, so it's quite interesting that at this point in time, Father is revealing a lot of this stuff to us, giving us more ammunition. That's what I call all truth, whether it's in the form of a book, a text, some saying, or the actions of one of our men. Every time we send out a truth, every time we reveal a hidden thing, every time we take the enemy's lies and obfuscations and reveal them, that is another bullet sent towards our enemy. So that's the weapons he's given us at this time, but I think in the near future it's going to change. And that's one of the reasons for today's topic of calling all men. Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2. O come, let us sing to Yahweh. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Hallelujah. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let's extol Him with songs. The rest of the world, of course, is celebrating the holiday, declared holiday in the States here anyway, of Thanksgiving. But how many people actually give thanks to the Creator above? Most people don't even believe He exists. They go through the motions. They enjoy the day off. They love stuffing their face with turkey and dressing and eating pumpkin pie. But how many people actually get up in that morning of Thanksgiving and give thanks to the Creator of all things? Give thanks to the fact that we're even here. We're alive. He gave us life. I've said it many times that, you know, the gift that He gave us is life, our presence here. Our gift to Him is what we do with that life. Most people don't give that a second thought. But it is true. Joshua 8:1, Yahweh said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Take all the warriors with you and arise, go up to Ai. Behold, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, along with his people, his city, and his land." You know, we talk about Malachi chapter 4. Maybe we'll go back and read that again. We're in those days. And I believe it's not by accident Malachi is the last chapter, the last four anyway. Chapter 4 is the last chapter in the last book of the Old Testament in most Protestant Bibles, especially the ones without the Apocrypha. So Malachi is telling us that before the great and terrible day of Yahweh, that He will send Elijah and He will prepare the people for the great and final last battle, the battle spoken of by Obadiah and Ezekiel. The time is coming, and that's why I'm saying calling all men, because even Rick Wiles with True News down here in Vero Beach, Florida. His co-host, Doc Burkhart, did a program on Friday that was absolutely jaw-dropping in its honesty about the Jews and their extraordinary influence here in the United States and around the world. And the fact that the push to impeach Donald Trump is predominantly Jewish. It's being financed by Jews, promoted by Jews, supported by Jews in many, many different ways. And that's not by coincidence. And it's also not a coincidence that those on the other side are Jews, okay? Because Jews have said from the days of the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion and beyond, the way they control an opposition is, or the way they handle or deal with opposition is by leading it. That's how they control it. And so they do. Both sides, almost every issue, you'll find a whole pile of Jews. So they're trying to come across as being able to say, look, you know, there's good Jews and bad Jews, okay? But like I've told people for many years, where in the Bible does our Heavenly Father differentiate Edom Esau? The verse that says, Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated. It says Esau. It doesn't say part of Esau. It doesn't say the conservative versus the left or communist Esau. It just says Esau. And when you start digging deep enough into the history of these people called Jews, you find out that their nefarious activities indeed are part of their makeup, part of their DNA. They can't help what they do. They are adversaries. That's what the Hebrew and Greek words are talking about. Satan or Shatan and Diablos or devil in the Greek all mean adversary. Adversary of what? Adversary of Yahweh, adversary of Yahweh's people. Who are Yahweh's people? The Israelites, Jacob, Israelites. We need to start adding Jacob every time you say the word Israel or Israel. So we differentiate in people's minds from that litter box over in Palestine that the portion of Jewry has absconded with, stolen it from the Palestinians that were there. We need to differentiate it so that we get people thinking that that's not Israel. So that when you read that in your English Bibles, that's not the land that it's talking about. Even in their own language, it's Israeli. It's not even Israel over there. It's Israeli. And it's very fitting. It is a lie. Okay? And that's why they're referred to as Israelis. Most people haven't even thought about that. Why aren't they called Israelites? They're not. Because they're not Israelites. At least they're honest about that. They're Israelis because they live in that land, but they're not Israelites. Even some rabbis that we've quoted here many times have said it's quite wrong, it's an error to call a modern Jew an Israelite or a Hebrew or the ancient Hebrew Israelites Jews. They're not the same. So the world is beginning to wake up with that. And again, Rick Wiles and Doc Burkhart on True News did a bang-up job, really. Now, the only problem with those guys, of course, is they're somewhat Judeo-Christian in the fact that they think that we should pray for these misfits and pray for their conversion when, if you read the scriptures, they're not going to convert. All right? Even Christ himself said, I speak in parables. Because there are those here who, if they heard and understood, might repent and thus be saved. What, saved from what? Saved from judgment? Saved from physical harm? When they are condemned already. Now, why would Messiah, the anointed one of Yahweh, say that if it weren't true? Take a look around. The only time Jews convert is when it's a ruse. When it's to pull the wool over the Christian's eyes, they don't ever convert. Not in the heart. It's impossible. That stony heart, they don't have a conscience. How else could you do the things to children that these people do? How else could you create vaccines knowing that they're harmful and stick them in people just so you can make money? How else could you run the medical mafia the way it's run today, that just takes money from people and depletes their savings and families' accounts, knowing full well it's not going to work? Okay? Some people are writing in that they don't have audio. Somebody needs to write into the chat box here that they need to re-log in because the audio is fine and it's their connection. And again, sometimes the connection doesn't work right. So the point is that when people like Rick Wiles and Doc Burkhardt have figured it out, at least they're on their way to figuring it out, it's quite amazing. And that will also ignite many other people to make the connection that these people are not our friends. They've never been our friends. They're not our allies. They are spies. They are deceivers. They are assassins. They operate in the dark with intrigue and blackmail and extortion, just like Dick Cheney did to the U.S. representative from Louisiana before he left Washington, D.C. He had had enough after only 1 year, and that's the cousin of my personal friend. So that, to me, is a verified witness to the criminality that goes on in that den of thieves called Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. is a foreign country. It's a corporation, a foreign land. It's not part of us. We don't need to listen to them. It would be the same as China coming over and telling us how to run our country or any other nation. Washington, D.C. is a foreign agent. They should be registered as agents of a foreign country. They're all Israeli-owned, bought and paid for, doing everything they do for the benefit of Israel, not for us, for the fake Israel. That's another thing. We should start calling that the fake Israel. So with that wake-up going on, it's going to put more and more pressure on the Edomites because they're being exposed. And all again, why the call for our men to take up arms and be prepared, not to go out and do anything yet except self-defense. You always, always have the right of self-defense, always. No matter what they put on paper, no matter what they threaten you with, you always have the right to self-defense. That's a God-given right. All of our rights are God-given. This whole nonsensical argument that they can legislate away our rights is ridiculous because the devil's in the details, folks. Look up the definition of a right. Okay? The very definition of a right is something that cannot be legislated away. Okay? You can't legislate rights away, no matter what they say. But that's what Jews do. They always try to control the narrative. That's why they bought the press up and the media up in the very beginning. When they came over here and our founding fathers made the mistake of allowing them to land ashore because they bought their way in through Amsterdam and back in New Amsterdam before it became New York. They bought their way into this country with bribery. And unfortunately, we had cowards and misfits even then who allowed them over here. And the first thing they do is work to control the money. And with the power of the purse, they are able to buy whatever they need. In this case, politicians, learning institutions, and the media. And once they had control of those things, everything else was downhill from that. I recently found a bunch of books written by Edward Bernays, the Jew, the father of public relations and propaganda. And these books are quite revealing. He tells it all about how he invented this whole thing that we call propaganda today as a way of controlling the masses. That's exactly how they do it. They use the media to propagandize. Look at the media trying to make out the fact that, you know, people can, and even one of my granddaughters recently told one of the family members that she mimicked what she was told in school. It's my body. I can do with it whatever I want. meaning she can kill a baby if she wants to. She can pretend to be a man if she wants to. I can marry whoever I want. Skin color doesn't matter. We're all the same. Where is she picking up this kind of nonsense? In the public school system. And unfortunately for my granddaughter, her mom, her biological mom, is a misfit, comes from a dysfunctional family. My granddaughter's grandmother on the mother's side is married to a black. Her mom's brother is a homosexual. So you talk about a dysfunctional family, there's the definition of it. Is it affecting my granddaughter? Unfortunately, yes. My son does his best to teach her right, so does the rest of the family, but it's very hard to overcome 24/7 electronic propaganda by the Jew, and then also the propaganda within the school system. I'm going to say it again. I know most people aren't going to pay attention to it, but if you've got a child in the public system or in the higher education system called college and universities, the standard ones now, I'm not talking like Hillsdale or anything like that, but the standard fare that's out there, if you got a child in those institutions, you are doing them great harm. Great harm. I can't say it enough. But, you know, we've been screaming from the wilderness here on this channel anyway for 20 years. And just as Messiah, when he walked this earth, he had a handful that would listen, pay attention. He only had 12 disciples. Remember? I kind of count that as a badge of honor, the fact that we've been ministering for 20 years, and some of the good folks here have been with me for almost that entire time, and a few of you for the entire time. For 20 years, and we probably average on a given show somewhere between 12 and 20 people, live listeners. Now, many, many hundreds, even thousands listen to the download, but the live participants number far fewer. And that's never really bothered me, because the Holy Spirit has ministered to me for a long, long time saying the same thing, that when Father was here in the flesh 2,000 years ago, as far as we know, he didn't have a whole army with him. He had 12 men. But they were Benjaminites. They were warrior-type men. Not perfect. None of the men of the Bible are perfect. But they had perfect love for the Father and perfect love for his law. And that's what he's looking for. What kind of heart do you have? What's your motive? Okay? So again, we put this information out there, but it's disconcerting on how few want to take advantage of truth these days. That's why Rick Wiles and Doc Burkhart at True News was so encouraging, that somebody of that stature, as far as a very large audience with a lot of people that he influences, he's not perfect. No, like I said, he's got some Judeo about him that's kind of upsetting, but for him to have the courage to take the Jews on the way he did was astounding. And it's also vindication for us here at this small station that we have been speaking on the radio for 20, but we have been speaking at personal gatherings for much longer than that, going back almost 40 years. It's catching on. That's my point. The truth is beginning, I'm saying beginning, to matter to some of our people. That's the key element that's been missing. The truth has not mattered to them. And I've watched my own friends and family and many of the believers out there suffer from their lack of faith. That's why Christ said, when I return, will I find faith upon the earth? How much faith do our people have? How much faith do our people have? From my point of view, very little, to be quite honest. Even with those that I've called friends and family that I've known, obviously, some of them my whole life, do they listen? No. I watch family members suffer with illnesses that are easily fixable in the world of natural health. Easily fixable. But they don't want to do it. Or it'll take too much effort, or it'll cost too much money. But they'll pay the money for supplemental insurance or health insurance, or allow the government, the least qualified people on this earth, to tell you how to do anything for your health. They'll follow that, but they won't spend a few bucks to have some of the smartest naturopaths that I've ever met in my life tell them exactly what's wrong. And they can do that. They have the ability to do that. They can nail it. When the medical profession most of the time walks away scratching their head after many tens of thousands of dollars worth of tests, and it's basically an educated guess on their part, and yet our people are okay with that. I shake my head. I just don't get it. I really don't. But he said, my remnant, my flock is a tiny flock, and he's not kidding. So will I find faith on the earth? Not a hell of a lot of it. Is my flock ever going to be a very large flock? No. Unfortunately. But I guess the good news is that we're part of that remnant, and we're going to go beyond this world. Trust me, there's a lot more beyond the firmament than what we see here. This is just a tiny, tiny microcosm of what's beyond. Tiny microcosm. And he doesn't want just any old buddy coming out of here going over there. So this is a testing ground. But it's amazing to me how people can see and ignore simple truths that could save them money, time, energy, health, suffering. And yet they choose to go headlong into death. As Christ said when he was here, choose between me and them. Choose between life and death. I'm giving you what? Living waters. What's the enemy give you? Poisoned waters. He gives living waters, pure, with all the essential minerals in it. Pure water that does what? Refreshes you, takes away your thirst, nourishes the body and hydrates it, brings in those essential minerals so that the cells can function the way they're supposed to. All of that is a beautiful, wonderful thing, and it works every time. And yet people walk away from it. I don't know. Oh, it is so frustrating. But we said 20 years ago when we started, if it takes waking up one Israelite at a time, that's how we'll do it. One Israelite at a time. It's frustrating, it's hard work, but it's worth it to wake them up even one at a time. Real quick here, Exodus 15, verse 3, Yahweh is a man of war, Yahweh is his name. Remember that one. Exodus chapter 15, verse 3. Yahweh is a man of war, Yahweh is his name. How many times in Scripture are we told to call upon his name? How many times are we told to be men and not cucks and soy boys? How many times are we told to be warriors defending the weak, the orphans, the widows? You could take that term widow, and it means any woman without a man as cover. That's the same thing. It means a woman who is without cover. Our job is to provide cover. The law of coverture goes back into antiquity. It is the law that says that a man of Yahweh, an Adamite, is to watch over Eve, our ladies. No woman of respect would ever be in a position without a man to cover. That's why the verse in the Bible that says, the day will come when seven men, women will take hold of one man and beg him, plead with him, to take away their reproach. Now, that's a English poor translation. What's that mean? Take away our reproach. It's a reproach. It's a curse. It is a bad thing for a woman not to have a man as cover. At least it has been up till the modern age with modern propaganda, thanks to Edward Bernays, the Jew, and his whole field of propaganda that he espoused and generated. And of course, Jews are masters of propaganda, just like Sigmund Freud, another Talmud-thumping Jew, came up with psychology and psychiatry. And what do they use it for? Again, think of this. It's just like, who runs 23andMe and the DNA outfits? Jews. In fact, the one is a sister of Wojcicki, the head of Facebook, I think. Is it Facebook or YouTube? But it's her sister, okay? These are all Jews. These are demented Jews. Now, so you're going to send a DNA sample. You just gave your biological blueprint to the enemy. Are you aware of that? And am I saying you shouldn't do it? Well, you can do whatever you want to do. It's your life. But am I recommending it? No, I wouldn't send them a damn thing. And it's the same thing with psychiatry and psychology. When you go in and talk to them, and you expose your hidden secret, do you think that's actually kept confidential? Do you honestly? Wait a minute. It's a Jewish creation. What do the Jews create the things they create for? To give them a leg up on everybody else. Why do you think our corrupt Congress, those creatures, they're not even men and women, they're creatures, in Washington, made it legal that all electronic communications goes through that litter box called Israeli over in Palestine. All electronic communications is filtered through your enemy. So they get you in the doctor's office, they get you in the psychiatrist's office, and now they get you when you sign up for any kind of DNA testing. And they get you when you communicate through electronics, whether it's phone, text, email, websites, whatever. All goes through the same group of nefarious little spies, little termites eating away at the fabric of society. It's amazing. And they said it's okay. It's okay. Treason. Treason at the highest levels. So I don't know anybody that would think Washington, D.C. needs to be listened to. Why would you do that? They are enemies. And I'm talking about the entire town, okay? I don't give a damn what the Kabuki Theater is going on out there for your distraction and your entertainment. That's all it is, Kabuki Theater. Do you actually believe any of that bullshit? And excuse my vernacular, but I'm in the role of Commander Dan now, not Pastor Dan. And I want to remind you that the ancient words in Aramaic that we use for pastor, commander, or leader, all three of them, because one deals with the church world, one deals with your civil government, and one does with your military. That's where you have leaders, commanders, pastors. It's the same word. And we interpret it three different ways because of the three different functions. But it's the same word. It just means the person in charge, the leader, the person that has been elected, or, as in the case with the military, they have said he's our commander. They have voted and said he's our commander. We trust him. So we use three different terms, but it's the same word in the ancient tongue. So I'm talking more in the line of the portion called commander today than I am pastor. That's why if the vernacular upsets you, I'm sorry, but we're past that, okay? Playing church, playing nicey-nicey, playing pious, look where it's got us. We are on the verge of a Bolshevik takeover of this country. It's in progress. It's not something down the road. It's happening right now. When people like Rick Wiles and Doc Burkhart can see it, and they even mentioned this on their broadcast Friday, Coach Dabomir, which is Coach Dave Live on his channel, is talking about it. Okay? I can't watch all the channels, but I do watch those two from time to time, and many times you, the listeners, send me links and information, and I try to follow up on it. The point of it is that when these guys can see it, it's pretty obvious. Okay? The time is short. So calling all men, I'm talking about real men, men with testosterone still in their bodies, men who can think for themselves, men who are not ruled over by women and children. I want to remind you of something, that in the ancient language, the word in your scripture called women, as in the case of ruled over by women and children, that word is not talking about just females. It's talking about men who are cuckoids. We shortened it to cucks most of the time nowadays. But cuckoids, basically an emasculated man, a man who has no stones in his sack, so to speak. So you're ruled over by cucks, females, children, as in a mental attitude of a child, okay? Washington, D.C. doesn't have any children in it ruling over us, but it has lots of people with the capacity to behave like children, undisciplined, rude, ignorant, full of themselves, narcissistic, full of it. Washington, D.C. is full of those very same individuals that we're talking about. And you can throw in aliens on top of that. So you've got effeminate men, you've got the white women, and now you have the aliens. And most of them have the attitude and attributes of a child. We are ruled over by a cacistocracy of the worst elements. Exactly what Scripture says. We have reached that point. Jacob, Israel, the people, the white race, those of us with the right DNA and the right software, the right hardware, the right software, that's his remnant. That's the elect. That's the ones he's concerned with the most. You see, a lot of people are frustrated. I don't understand why my sister does this. I don't understand why my cousin does this. I don't understand why my neighbor who's white. Okay, they may look white. They might have the right hardware, but that doesn't mean they have the right software. That's why Christ says you've got to test the spirits. You don't witness. You don't even pray for the profligates. That's where people like Rick Wiles are completely off the chart. They're off the tracks. We're not supposed to pray for those who are willfully ignorant and willfully reprobate. Why in the hell would you pray for them? They've made their choice. They are your enemies. And so we are witnessing the insurgency is now on the surface and visible. This insurgency has been going on for decades. As you can go back to the old broadcasts on this radio show, we've been talking about this since 1999. And before that, you can go to the gatherings of patriots back in the 90s and the late 80s. So this is not news to the patriots, most of us anyway. But it has gotten to the point where it is so bad that even those at that level that typically got their heads up in the clouds, or as one guy said one time, they're so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly good. Perfect, perfect saying. They're so heavenly minded, meaning they're thinking about heaven so much, they're of no earthly good. Another way of putting it is like Coach Dave, and Rick has even talked about it, but Coach Dave in particular, what good is the church today? The thing called the church, the organized churchianity that we all recognize, what good is it today? What effect does it have on our society? We got churches everywhere. We got Bibles coming out of our ass. What good is it? Who actually reads it? Who actually believes? Who actually implements anything coming out of those books? How many people allow Scripture to actually affect their lives? What did Christ tell us? What did the Anointed One tell us? True conversion, meaning those who have repented of being reprobates and want to be Yahweh's children. That true conversion will create a changed life. If your life doesn't reflect a change towards Yahweh's laws, I have to question whether there was a conversion or not, which means I have to question whether you're part of the elect. Are you part of the remnant? You see, the remnant gets to get into the lifeboat as the Titanic is sinking. You're on the Titanic, folks, and it's taking on water quickly as the Bolsheviks are moving up their end time game rapidly here. They're in your face with it right now. They don't think anything can stop them. Isn't that what the prophets told us would be near the end? Right? Their vanity will be part of their undoing. Yeah, they're vain, all right. They're so vain now that even some of the most brain-dead Judeo-Christians are starting to realize, uh-oh, we have an enemy stalking amongst us. Yeah, you're damn right you do. And those that had paid enough attention to the watchman on the wall have known this for a long time. I've been honored to have met over the years many of the patriots and the preppers that are all throughout the middle part of this country, and they've been getting ready for a long time. They may not go to Bible lessons, they may not be on the internet much, but they know. They've been getting ready. Yahweh says he's got an army. Ezekiel 37 says, what? There's a vast and mighty army. A vast army. And just like Exodus 15 told us here, Yahweh is a man of war. War against what? War against evil. War against the wicked. Just like Malachi chapter 4 tells us. All right? Who is going to suffer? It's not just Edom, Esau. Obadiah and Ezekiel make it very clear Edom Esau is meant for utter destruction. And people say, well, Dan, I know a Jew down the street. He seems like a pretty nice guy, Dan. Well, you take it up with the Father. You take it up with the prophets that wrote the words. And you take it up with historical evidence that's coming out now. These people operate the same all through the centuries. Oh, do they know how to put on a front? Oh, yeah, look at George Soros. Look at the Rockefellers. Oh, we're philanthropists. We've given millions of dollars to charities, and we've built this kind of a sanctuary, and we're trying to help the children. The whole time they're committing child sacrifice and drinking children's blood and doing all kinds of nasty stuff. But on the face of it, they've got you thinking that they're some kind of good guys. Really? I think I'll trust the Father. You trust the Jew if you want. I'll trust the Father. The Father says that they're all the same. They're Edom Esau. And so I label them all the same. Even Dr. McCall up in Canada, who up till now, recently, anyway, has always been putting out some pretty damn good articles exposing the Zionists and the Jews and what they're up to. But here of late, say, the devil will let you tell an ocean of truth as long as he can float a lie on the top. So one of Satan's kids up there tells an ocean of truth, but it's that little lie that floats on the top. Even Brother Nathaniel was a perfect example. Okay? He can tell an ocean of truth, but you got to be careful of that little lie. It's that little lie that floats on the top. In Brother Nathaniel's case, what's the little lie? That the Jews are Judah. You see, they always want to have somebody appear to be one of us and to bring them into the fold. They're not part of us, folks. By DNA, by history, by culture, by scripture. They're not part of us. And when you dig down deep at all of the machinations and the perfidious things that are going on today, you dig down those rabbit holes and you will find a Jew and his money all over it, every single time. And if you think that's a coincidence, then you need more help than you're going to get from here. You need some kind of professional help, and I would not go to a Jew psychiatrist. In fact, let me say this, I wouldn't go to a Jew for anything, knowingly. I wouldn't go to a doctor, dentist, banker, retail store, anything that supports a Jew if you can help it. Sometimes you can't help it because they have, with their fake money, their digital money, they've bought up almost everything. And that which they can't outright buy up, they buy up the people that do run it. They get in on the board of directors or whatever, or they buy enough shares that they have influence. So there's very little that the sons and daughters of Satan don't influence today. But the point of it is, if you do have a choice, if you do have a opportunity to avoid them, supporting them, you should take it. Every opportunity. And most certainly, every single opportunity to out them for who they really are. They are a menace to mankind. Exactly as Scripture says. They are a menace to mankind. And the whole world is waking up to this. It's not just here in America, because we have sunk so low. America has become Mystery Babylon. You know that, right? I know Americans like to have their heads up in the clouds thinking we're such a great and prosperous and holy nation. No, we're not. Because that's also coming to light. Even Paul Craig Roberts, a man of his stature, just put out an article talking about the lies of World War II, finally coming to light. Hallelujah. We've known about it for decades. But now somebody at the level of a Paul Craig Roberts is putting out information, and Patrick Buchanan putting out it. When those kind of people put out the information, that gets some heads turning. Not everybody, of course not. You always have the naysayers. You always have those that walk around with their heads up their rear ends and they don't know whether it's day or night. But you can't worry about them. Even Christ says, don't go into the way of the Samaritans. Didn't he say that? Don't go in the way of those who choose to be ignorant, who choose the path of destruction. Don't go there. What did he say to do when you go into a town and you're preaching truth, whether it's a biblical truth or historical truth? What did he say when you go into a household, when you go into a village, when you go into a town? If they accept the truth, they stick around and educate. If they don't, knock the dust off your feet and keep right on going. We got people that anguish over loved ones or family, friends, etc., or neighbors or coworkers that just aren't getting it, aren't going to make it. Hey, I got news for you. They're on the Titanic. They're not going to be here much longer. You might as well mentally prepare yourself for that. I have. Does it make me happy? Well, hell no, of course not. And to be quite honest, I wish everybody could be saved. And I do mean everybody. I wish we didn't have the turmoil, the sickness, the evil, the debauchery, the rape, the child's molestation, all of it. I wish we had none of it. I wish Yahweh wouldn't have had to bring this judgment upon the earth at all. However, I'm also a pragmatist, and as I look around, this world is sick. In fact, this world is screaming for judgment. I said that 20 years ago in one of the very first broadcasts. 20 years later, it's 10 times, maybe 100 times worse than it was back in 1999, especially since 9/11, when they used that to unleash hell upon patriotic America. Okay, you're living in Mystery Babylon. Why is it a mystery? You got to remember what the Greek word means. Okay, it's not a mystery in the sense that you can't see it. It's a mystery that most people overlook it. They have been propagandized to the point they can't even see it. Every description of Babylon, the great whore, fits America. If you have your eyes open and you do a little digging. And again, I'm here to tell you, just go to my page on PastorDan.net and look up the recommended reading list. It's extensive. That's just the books that I know about. There's a whole lot more. But go look down through there. I haven't read everything on that list, but I've read most of them. And I'm going to tell you, that's That's quite revealing. And when you read that and you see what we've done behind closed doors and in secrecy, especially thanks to these nefarious Jews that walk amongst us, it's nothing to be proud of. And I'm going to say another thing, too, since Paul Gregg Roberts put out that article talking about the truths of World War II. How dare we be proud of what we did in World War I and World War II? How dare we? How dare any veteran, and I'm a veteran, how dare any veteran proclaim that our boys died in a worthy cause? No, we didn't. We were taken advantage of. I lost a cousin at the Battle of the Bulge, 18-year-old cousin who's buried over in France. During the Battle of the Bulge, trying to fight my other cousins, the Germans. Am I proud of that? No, I'm not proud of that. Was he my blood, and I'm upset of the fact that he got taken advantage of and led into a war he should not have been over there for? Yeah, I'm pissed. I'm pissed about all of them. My grandfather was a U.S. Marine in World War II. My ex-father-in-law was a Marine in World War II, stormed the beaches of Normandy. Were they taken advantage of? You better believe they were. I lost a coworker right here in Florida not too long ago, what, to Agent Orange, because he got suckered into Vietnam and got sprayed on, and it took his life. Am I pissed? Yeah. I'm outraged. But again, I'm not proud of what the United States military has done in the past and is doing today. Smedley Butler, the United States Marine Corps general, in his little book, War is a Racket, spells it out. General George S. Patton was going to come back to the United States and tell everybody that war is a racket and we fought the wrong enemy in World War II, and they murdered him for it. They murdered him before he could come back to the States. This stuff's been going on for way too long. Am I upset? I told you I'm upset. I'm pissed. They want a war? Let's bring a war. Exodus 15, verse 3. Yahweh is a man of war. He's a man, not afraid of being a man, just like the men that come to this channel. Just like the John who has a YouTube channel called The Prepared Mind. He is a United States Marine veteran as well. He's a man. He's not afraid of being a man. We're toxic males. If you think I'm going to be ashamed of being a toxic male, you're crazy. That's a badge of honor. For this stinking world full of its perversions and absolute insanity to call me toxic, that's a badge of honor. For the Jews to say that I'm somebody that should be shut down, or I'm an anti-Semite, or any other little derogatory term they want to use, that's a badge of honor. When you read what these people do, especially behind closed doors, them denigrating us is a badge of honor. It's not something to be ashamed of. Some people say, well, the women are going to call you a chauvinistic pig. You're a misogynist and blah, 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 blah. No, anybody that actually knows me knows I have a heart of gold. For people that behave themselves, whether they be animals, plants, or people, I have a heart of gold. I have a heart that goes after my Father Yahweh. And people that know me know that. But is there a side of me that'll pick up a sword and cut you in half? Yeah. Yeah. Let me find you raping a young girl in the bushes, and I will put a sword right through your stomach. If I find you messing around with a little boy, I'll put a sword right through your stomach. If I catch you committing murder along the highway to steal somebody's gold or silver, I will put you a sword right through you. Yeah. That wouldn't bother me. If you're an enemy of my people committing treason or subterfuge or blackmail or any of the things that these monsters do to our legislators, yeah, I'd put a sword right through you. Wouldn't bother me one bit. Do I want to do it? No. I wish I didn't have to do it. But would I do it? Yeah, I would do it in a second. Treason is a form of murder. In fact, treason is even worse than the enemy that comes at you in uniform with a flag. I have more respect for the soldiers in an opposing army that they will at least identify themselves as my enemy. These people do it in the dark. They pretend to be Americans. They pretend to be congressmen. They pretend to be loyal to this country. They pretend that they took an oath of office. That's a funny thing. That woman, that Jew woman recently put out a propaganda piece where she says, I took my oath of office to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Aw, you precious little Jewish bitch. Really? You took an oath? Well, why didn't you include in that little soundbite, that little propaganda piece, why didn't you include the fact that as a Jew, you prayed the Kol Nidre prayer last Yom Kippur? Okay, you little lying Jew bitch. Why didn't you say that? Why didn't you tell the people that any oath that you take is of no effect because you prayed the Kol Nidre prayer in synagogue? You see how they work? And people say, well, Dan, you shouldn't call her that because, you know, she's a congressperson and she's Jews. Them Jews got a lot of power. Well, my only defense is the truth is the truth. I've known that for a long time. My only defense is Yahweh himself, the man of war, and the man who sticks by his children, as Psalm 91 tells us. That's my defense. That's the only defense I have, because I'm just a man. I'm an easy target. But the enemy can't stand the truth. The truth literally cuts them like a sword. And that's why anybody with any kahunas would have stood up to that little Jewish hag and told her that you're a liar and a misfit and you're a traitor to this country. How dare you put out a propaganda piece that you're loyal American? You are not. You are an Israeli spy. You are a traitor to this nation. And all of the other ilk in Washington, all of the other ilk in the Pentagon, all of the other ilk in our state capitals, it's the same. Traitors. When they sit up there and they say, well, I took that oath of office and I hold it dear and I mean it. You don't mean a damn thing. Come on. We should take military men and go to every synagogue and find any list that they have of the people that prayed that prayer. Every member of every synagogue should be in the hands of our militia. That's what should happen. People say, well, why is that? Well, because that is an admission of treason. If they prayed a Kol Nidre prayer and then took an oath of office, that is a form of treason. That's all you need. You don't even need to go to trial. If their signature's on the paper. If they stood in front of a video camera holding their hand up, swearing to abide by the Constitution, that is an act of treason. That's simple. That's easy. You don't even need a court trial for that. The military could just go in and take them outside, blindfold them and shoot them. There'd be nothing wrong with that. We are in the midst of a Bolshevik insurrection that is now hot and it is active. And that's why I'm saying, calling all men. You better be ready, men. You better have your weapons. You better have your supplies. You better be mentally prepared for what's going to happen. Because you can't stop it now. It's in full swing. Again, if people like Rick Wiles and Doc Burkhart and Coach Dave Dabamir, Patrick Buchanan, Paul Craig Roberts, the list goes on and on and on. If these men are now seeing it, and the genocide, they're even talking about the genocide of the white race. John Mark and Kurt Doolittle are putting out the information about the bringing in of these invaders. Don't call them immigrants. They're not immigrants. They're invaders. These invaders in our system to undermine the whites and the white vote. When they're saying it, that means it's pretty apparent, okay? Up till now, only the remnant have been fully aware of what's going on. But here's the good news. The good news is hallelujah. That means we're closer to the end of this nonsense. We're closer to the jubilee that Yahweh promised us. Yeah, it's ugly. You're in the tribulation. There's no doubt about that. There is a ray of hope. There is a sunshine. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. And that's our King, Yahweh. He is our Yahshua. Isaiah 33, verse 22 makes it very, very clear. He is all three functions of government: King, Judge, Lawgiver. He's all three. We don't need misfits and prostitutes in Washington or any state capital. He's all three. And the fourth thing Isaiah tells us at that verse is he will be our Savior. Hallelujah. We have a Savior. And we, his sons and daughters, functioning as Yahweh, are our Saviors as well. When we network together as brothers and sisters, we form a network, a chain, a life raft, so to speak, in this cesspool that we live in. We're behaving as Yahweh said, because did not Christ himself say, if you love me, obey my commandments. If you love me, feed my sheep. Now, do you think he was talking about those woolly things out in the pasture on four legs? Does anybody actually think that? He was talking about, you know, I want you to feed my flock out here in the... Come on, people. Feed my sheep. Why? Because we're living in a cesspool full of lies and deception. Again, I'm going to stress that if you've got a child, a grandchild, a brother and sister with their children, whatever, in this public school system, shame on you. Shame on them and shame on you. Now, I know you can't force it sometimes at this point in time, but shame on you if you're not making them aware of the fact that their children are in a cesspool system. The public school system has zero value right now. Zero. Your child, grandchild, niece, nephew, if they're in that institution right now, you might as well count them as gone. Because they'll come out of there brainwashed beyond belief. They're going to believe that homosexuals are quite normal. They're going to believe transgenderism is quite normal. They're going to believe that they can choose whatever sex they want to be. Complete retarded nonsense. Where are they picking it up? And again, why do we have the public school system we have today? Oh, let's see. Who was that? His name's escaping me right off the hand. The father of progressive education in this country. Oh, it's right on the tip of my tongue. But anyway, another kike. Another Talmudic Jew with a bright idea. And we bought it. We bought it because the local papers said that these are smart men, just like those papers told you that, what's his name, Albert Einstein, he's so smart. I even had family tell me that. Oh, Dan, you know, that Albert Einstein, boy, he's typical of them smart Jews. No, what he's typical is how gullible we are, that somebody as dumb as Albert Einstein is actually believed to have been smart. How many people know that? The guy didn't have enough sense to tie his own shoes, and you think he's a brilliant guy. Why? Because Jews told you so. Just like they told you Sigmund Freud was somebody to be admired. Just like they told you Edward Bernays, oh, smart man. Or Edward House that controlled Woodrow Wilson in the White House. Yeah, these are smart kikes, man. They're smart. Yeah, they're smart, all right. Or is it that you're so stupid, they appear to be smart? I think it's more that. They really aren't smart, okay? I've been to school with them. I've been in military situations around Jews. They're not all that smart. The ones I've met, anyway, they're no smarter than anybody else. But they are diabolical geniuses on pulling the wool over the sheep's eyes, and they've dumbed us down to the point where the sheep out here, these dummies coming out of the public school system, they probably do appear to be smart, but are they actually smart? No, they're not. And Albert Einstein is a perfect example. Albert Einstein and Barack Obama are two of the perfect examples of how control of the narrative and the media and the use of propaganda can get you to believe an outright lie. Barack Obama is a moron. Michelle Obama, his boyfriend, is a moron. Albert Einstein is a moron. And yet they got you believing these are top shelf people. Smart. Really? Hillary and Bill Clinton. Great, wonderful people. Smart. Good lawyers. Really? Why were they disbarred? Even the corrupt legal system disbarred them. What's that tell you? Okay? As corrupt as that piece of shit organization is, they disbarred them. A Jew said Hillary was so dishonest he didn't want her working for him in Washington when she first got out of law school. What does that tell you? A Jew in Congress actually said Hillary is so dishonest, I don't want her working for me. I can't even picture that. Can you? I can't even picture that. A Jew saying that this shiksa is so dishonest and evil that he didn't want her working for him? When they are the epitome of wickedness and evil amongst our people? That one is actually a laughing matter. If you haven't been to the YouTube channel of Asha Lagos, and Asha is A-S-H-A, Asha Lagos, which is L-O-G-O-S, Asha, two words separated, Asha Lagos, you need to go watch his videos. He is putting information out there that is very hard-hitting. So is John Mark and Kurt Doolittle. And John Mark's YouTube channel is exactly that. John space Mark. John Mark. He and Kurt Doolittle putting out phenomenal information. Asha Lagos is putting out historical information about who we are, who the Scythians really were, who the Goths really were, and he's outing the Jews as well as the interlopers. It was very interesting in Asha Lagos's recent one about the Goths and how the Jews that they allowed to stay in the area of Spain today, the Iberian Peninsula, back when the Goths were in control of Spain. It's very interesting when he says that the Moors from Africa came in and took over because of treason by the Jew. The Jews worked with the Moors, and they had a backdoor deal where the Moors, once they took over, would allow the Jews to have power and be in banking. So they actually committed treason and in some cases actually opened the doors to cities and to fortresses to allow the Moors in. So it wasn't because the Moors were moral people or better soldiers. It's always the treason from within. And as I'm watching that Asha Lagos video, I'm thinking to myself, wow, what's happening in America? Who's opened the back door to allow the Arabs to come in here? I can remember when the first mosque was built in Ohio near Toledo, which is interesting because Toledo is the name of a city in Spain, only it's pronounced Toledo. But Toledo, Ohio was named after that famous city in Spain, one of the cities conquered by the Moors. And where did they build a mosque? Clear back in the 1980s, one of the very first mosques in America was near Toledo, Ohio. You see the symbology? The Jew has opened up the gates to allow the Moors into America. It's happening. You're living history again. You're going to find out how benevolent Jews and Arabs are to you. Now, did the Arabs do 9/11? No. Do they got you looking at the Arabs over there as to take heat off of the Jew? Of course, they always do that. But they consider that collateral damage if you hate a few Arabs. The ones that matter are the ones like Barack Obama put in. How many Arabs are in our government right now? A lot more than you think, state level and federal level. The Jew has opened up the gates to the city and allowed the Moors to come into our lands. You're living history, folks. You're living history all over again. You're going to find out what it was like for the Goths, the white Aryan Goths who lived in Spain hundreds of years ago when the treason of the Jew opened up the doors and allowed the invaders, the Moors, to come in. And how many of them were enslaved, tortured, the women taken off as sex slaves, and many of the men beheaded and tortured or impaled. And if you don't believe that's true, I'll send you the books that chronicle it. Okay? That's what you're about to witness here. The Jews have opened the floodgates, and the Moors are flooding in. The invaders are flooding in. And most white people are too damn stupid to see it. So I'm calling on all men. Men, are there any men left to arms? If we've reached the point where people like True News, the folks at True News and Coach Dave and Pat Buchanan and Paul Craig Roberts and such are sounding the alarm, you know it's bad. You know it's bad. It is time for the warriors to awaken. Because those who do not study history and pay attention to history are what? Doomed to repeat it. That's the United States of America, that's Canada, and that's the Western white nations of Europe. You're doomed to repeat it. Because you became lazy, apathetic, willfully ignorant, and you bought into the Jew propaganda. Where was your discernment, America? Where was your discernment when they pushed things like property tax on you? When they pushed the idea the state has a right to tell you how to educate your children? Where were you? Where was your discernment? Where was the pastors of the flocks? Where was the discernment when the Jews came in, even though Ben Franklin and George Washington made it very clear they should never be allowed in here, ever? George Washington even went so far as to say that it should be hunted down and exterminated like vermin. In case you don't know what the word vermin means, go look it up. Okay? That's George Washington. He should know. Those men weren't all that long here from their European roots. They knew what the Jews had done in Europe. They knew the history of Spain better than we know it today. And if it wasn't for the brave knights of France that came down and reconquered Spain away from the Moors eventually, but that took quite a while. The point I'm trying to make is the same termites, the same cancer cells are causing the mischief amongst our people, the Aryan white Caucasian Israelites. The same misfits from day one, from the garden till today. As Christ said, there's nothing new. These people, and these are the words of the Messiah, these people are responsible for all of the innocent blood that has been shed. That's one of the things that came out in the videos produced by Asha Lagos, is the fact that our people, all through history, whether they were called Visigoths, Goths, Scythians, whatever, we all come from the same Hebrew roots. And as children of Yahweh, even in antiquity, our people possessed compassion, honesty, work ethic. Are we capable of being fierce warriors? Absolutely. Just like the German SS. The most moral army on the field of battle in World War II was the German SS. But who is denigrated by these misfit parasites that live amongst us? The German SS. And yet every commander in World War II, virtually every commander, agreed that the most moral and the best soldiers on the field of battle was the German SS soldier. And yet they got you, as soon as you hear German SS, you got pictures of devils and killing babies and all this. But see, when does the truth matter? That's what I want to know. For our people, our displaced, disenfranchised white people today, when the hell does truth matter to you folks? But a shout out to True News, Rick Wiles, and Coach Burkhart, or not Coach, but Doc Burkhart. they did a bang-up job. And again, they've got more to learn about who's who in the zoo, and they even need to learn more about what Christ actually said versus this love everybody garbage or everybody can be saved. Really? Then why the hell did he speak in parables? If this good news is for everybody, then why did he speak in parables? Why is it the scriptures were written in languages that only white people read and speak? If it's meant for everybody, why? So for century upon century, all these other people are in hell because our father didn't print anything that they could read and didn't send any missionaries into their lands. But all of a sudden today, that's the number one job, is to win souls to Christ by sending missionaries into darkest Africa? Really? Let's see, Messiah himself didn't venture down to Africa. Last time I checked, he didn't send any of the disciples into Africa. In fact, he told them quite explicitly, go into the house of the lost sheep of Jacob Israel. That's us, our people. Where we trekked off as Scythians and Goths and Vandals, Celts. Those who do not learn from the past are doomed to repeat it. And if you don't know who you are, you don't know where you came from, and you sure as hell don't know where you're going. It's time that folks pay attention. Learn who the hell you are. Yahweh gave us brains, and he did that for a reason. He gave us a spirit. He gave us the ability to think, to fantasize, to postulate, to ration. And we're not using it. Many of our people are not using it. It's not that hard to figure out. All it takes is a desire for the truth. And that's why I'm glad to hear some of the major broadcasters are starting to talk about that. Our people need to pay attention. They need to learn history. They need to know who they are. They need to think about the situation we're in. And they also need to think about what is about ready to transpire. It's that close and that serious, folks. The words are difficult for me to express, that to bring this point home. We are that close. This Kabuki theater is a good indication. All this garbage that they fill the screens with, all those flat screens of death, the images of the beast. Remember, images of the beast means images controlled by. Of can be possessive. Okay? The house of David, meaning David's house, right? Images of the beast, images controlled by the beast. Who's the beast? Government. The beast is always government. Who are the greatest murderers, mass murderers in all of history? Governments. Who is bringing all this draconian stuff on our heads? Government. Beasts. Our ancient ancestors, like the Goths, didn't believe in large central government. They didn't believe in all that. They believed in individual liberty. Now, when you step on somebody else's liberty, now there could be conflict. That's where you better hope that you're right and they're wrong. But until such point in time that you actually transgress on somebody else's rights, nobody should bother you about much of anything. And yet, you've got government in your face 24/7 today. 24/7. Somebody told me there's places in this country you need a permit to remodel your bathroom in your house. First of all, how do these assholes even know you're remodeling a bathroom in your house? Second of all, what business is it of theirs? And why in the hell are we allowing this garbage? Another point I want to bring up here real quick, and I'll open up the phone lines, but And I'm glad to see Kurt Doolittle and John Mark at least touching on this subject about a singular leader. Whether you want to call him a monarch or not, I don't really care, because everybody's got some kind of a mental hang-up with this idea of a monarchy. They have allowed the Jew to control the narrative to where as soon as monarch is mentioned, everybody thinks it's talking about a dictator. That's not what a monarch is. Okay, is a dictator a form of a monarchy? Yeah. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a biblical righteous monarchy set up the way it was in our lands when we were Goths, Visigoths, and Scythians, and Celts. Now, when did we go wrong? As Asa Lagos points out in his video, the Goths, over a period of time, gradualism, they got into some areas where they should have never gone. And they ended up with a King Justinian. Now, I find it interesting. Justinian wasn't a true Goth. He was a half-breed. And it appears that Justinian was at least part Jewish, if not completely Jewish, including his wife. Now, what is interesting, and I noticed this many years ago when I was thumbing through a National Geographic magazine. This is a long time ago. And there were some beautiful color photographs of different buildings around the world. And they were showing the magnificent artwork of our people, the statues that looked like they literally took molten marble and poured them over living people. That's how beautiful and lifelike these statues are. That's what our people create. Okay? It's beauty. Beautiful. Whether it's a painting, a sculpture, an architecture, whatever. Then, in this National Geographic, they took a picture inside of a mosque from over in, I think it was in the Middle East somewhere. And they showed the mosaic in the floor, the tile work in the floor of this mosque. It looked like a three-year-old child had arranged the tiles in that floor. It was hideous. Hideous. And to call it artwork was a sacrilege. And it was a defaming of the true artists in this world that know what the hell they're doing. These Jews are sick. So again, I'm looking at this magazine, and years later, I had more evidence of this kind of correlation. But then last night in that video, as I'm watching it, of Asa Lagos about the Goths, and they put up the picture of Justinian, and guess what it was? It was a mosaic, exactly like the mosaics in that synagogue. It wasn't lifelike at all. It was almost like a caricature. It was like a child assembled it. I'm thinking, well, that's your evidence that Justinian was a traitor. He was a wolf in sheep's clothing. When are the sheep going to wake up? You have wolves walking around in sheep's clothing, doing all kinds of evil, nefarious things. And now they're actually aiding and abetting the invaders, just like the Jews did with the Moors to our ancestors in Spain, even though it wasn't called Spain back then. Treason is what brings down our people, because we are the best warriors on the battlefield. There is no doubt about that. Our men, when they're full of righteous indignation, they're the best warriors ever. They can't defeat us that way, whether it's the Moors, the Arabs, the Jews, Chinese, it doesn't matter. They can't beat us on a battlefield, on a fair level playing field. They beat us with subterfuge, intrigue, behind closed doors, as traitors, working in the dark, or as the Jews in España did, opening the gates to the city in the dark when everybody was asleep, or they were away at church or festival. the same Jews have made backdoor deals here in the United States. And they're opening the floodgates. They've had them open since 1965, only now it's ridiculous. Now it's reached the point where even the brain dead are beginning to see that we're in a serious situation. We should have woke up in 1965 when Jacob Javits, the hook-nosed kike, and his little band of hook-nosed Jews in Washington worked to dismantle our immigration policy, which was 100% white. And even of white immigrants, it only allowed in the same number as left. How many people know that? Approximately 187,000. That's all in 1965, up until 1965. 187,000 per year of white people were allowed to come into this country because that's the number of white people that left the country. Immigration was never supposed to change our demographics or our total population. Everything has been dismantled. Everything is upside down. And it's getting really, really, really serious. So anyway, I want to open up the lines, and if anybody has a comment or question, please flag me. If you're on a phone, it's star 6. If you're on a computer, it's click on the ask question button. But if anybody wants to contribute, I just don't know how else to say it, folks. These are serious times. And again, when you see the smoke on the horizon, you know there's a fire. Okay, and it's here. It's on us. Wake the hell up. Mike, welcome to the program, bud.
Yeah, great stuff today, as usual, Dan, as always. Just really, really inspiring. You know, it's very, very interesting. I don't know if you experienced this, but you you reference in emails and on the program now and then this myth of the Andalusian paradise. This book that debunks this idea that when the Moors, the Muslims, were in charge of, had conquered Spain with the help of the Jews for 800 years, that there was some kind of a revival, like an Islamic renaissance of some kind. And the book is absolutely brilliant. It just completely debunks any idea that there was advancement in anything other than corruption, slavery, you know, sex trade. You know, it was just a brilliant work. And I wanted to have it hit home for me so badly that I got the audio version as well. So I don't know if you experienced this, but I recommend this for your listeners. If you read a book and you really want it to hit home, and you, especially when the author himself or herself does the audio, listen to it, especially with that book. You want to completely and utterly destroy any Jew propaganda that Muslims and the religion of Islam, and that this so-called renaissance that took place, this revival of culture and science and literature, you know, was a great thing in Spain. It was an absolute hell on earth. And as you mentioned, if we don't understand these facts, we're going to repeat it. Look how people today, the British people, our kin, our brethren, get treated in England. They open the doors, the Jews open the doors under the guise of being British, and they're not, they're Jews. The Rothschild banking houses, the Saxburg, or what do they call them, the Saxe-Coburg-Gothas, who changed their name to the Windsors, the people who are the royal, so-called royal family in England. German Jews, the House of Goldsmith, who was Princess Diana's real father, this banker, the goldsmith, Lord Neuberger, they call him, Neuberger, who was the president of the Supreme Court, who blocked the Brexit, even though the white British people wanted to leave the European Union. Same betrayals, just as Asha Logos documents, just as the author of, you know, the Myth of the Andalusian Empire or Paradise documents, it's the same pattern over and over and over again. Our founders warned us, you let these people into the inmost circles of any of your institutions and systems, they will take them over and they will undermine them to your detriment. How many more examples of this do we need? I mean, and you know what's so funny too, a little side note. Whenever you mentioned great point about the difference in the quality of architecture and design between our people and other peoples, especially these Muslims. And people say, well, what about the Hagia Sophia? I'm like, idiot, that was a Christian, Greek, Orthodox church that was taken over in Istanbul, Turkey, and turned into a mosque. So that was designed by white people, built by white people, maintained by white people, and again, the gates were opened by the Jews, and that gateway between East and West became Muslim. So people really need to wake up. We've got a lot of myths and fables that our people believe that are hurting us, really hurting us.
Yeah, ignorance. It's the Bible calls it darkness, but it's a word that describes ignorance of the truth. And our people are about as dark as you can get. We're trying to shine a light, and the good news is the light is reaching some folks out there. But I'll tell you, it's dark. It is really dark in this country. It's sad, isn't it, Mike, to sit here knowing what we know when every molecule in my body is screaming out, wake up, there's right. danger at the door. And yet, most people are oblivious. It's like they're down at the bar at the American Legion, set me up with another gin and tonic. They're out here watching some idiotic production from Jew Hollywood at the cinema, or they're out doing who knows what else, and yet there's danger at the door, and they don't get it. It's like they become completely retarded. I mean, if this is Father's way of thinning out the herd, I guess I can't complain. But boy, it's painful. I said that to him in prayer last night. This is painful. This is not fun. It's fun doing his work. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I've gotten some emails from people here lately of our people that have woke up that are really, really going gangbusters in their knowledge and their thirst for truth. Those are wonderful things to get. But to look at the overall picture and see how dismal the situation looks, it's not fun. I mean, this is one sick-ass world that we live in under this firmament. And it's only because the righteous have sat back. Again, you know, what happened in Spain when the Goths controlled it? There was treason amongst them. And the Jew found the weakest of the people and bought them off. Exactly how they got in here to the United States. They found the weakest amongst us that take a bribe. They're Judas. We've got Judases that for 30 pieces of silver will sell out the Messiah himself. Okay.
Yeah, the greatest danger isn't actually the Jew. It's our people that are, number one, ignorant of the power of the Jew. And how is the serpent, the Nagash, described?
Yeah.
As a beguiler, a deceiver, a liar. So, and then the second, obviously, being the knowing traitor who thinks it's politically, you know, and financially expedient to get in bed with the Jew because they believe they're going to win.
Right.
So we do have traitors, and a lot of great white Christian, you know, Russians. Another example of the utter betrayal by the Jew, right? Promising this workers' paradise, and then tens of millions of the best and brightest of our kin, whether they be. You know, Shemite or Japhethite, they're our kin. But the Russian people, descendants of the Vikings, big, big, tough, strong, smart people who live in brutal conditions in the biggest country on the planet, even they were tricked.
Yeah.
They were tricked, a handful of their people. So look at all of these examples of the murder, the poverty, I tell you, Dan, it takes a special kind of sick maniac to starve children to death. Look what they did in the Holodomor in the Ukraine. Starving little babies to death whose parents and, you know, every ancestor they've ever heard of ran the breadbasket of most of Eastern Europe, which is the Ukraine. It's the biggest country in Europe. And it was the most abundant, you know, agriculturally. They had more food than they could ever hope to eat and sell. And all of a sudden, you know, there's a famine in the Ukraine. And just because the Jew published it and some Jew reporter, you know, vouched for it in the paper, oh, well, I guess, you know, maybe there's just a famine.
Yeah.
How? I mean, it's just, it's so scary, Dan. And you know what? I talk about idolatry a lot, and I look at myself in the mirror first. Could it be idolatry for the kind of guy and gal that you talked about sitting at the VFW, right, or the, you know, the Legion Hall, just sitting there, you know, lots of tattoos, American flags, and a lot of great patriotism and a lot of great service in the military, but relying on that, thinking of the strength of men, thinking that, oh, you know, regardless of whether we got a few bad apples, you know, and maybe we did some things we shouldn't have done, but this is America. America is indestructible. That's idolatry.
Yeah, it is idolatry. Yep. Yep. And it's idolatry worshiping commanders and police chiefs and commandants of the state police, etc., when they issue unrighteous commands. It's idolatry saying, I have to obey orders. My ass. There's only one person I know of that I've ever read about that I need to obey, and that's my Father in heaven. There's nobody walking in shoe leather that I'm commanded to obey. Even we talk about the Emperor Trajan and his quote to his men at arms, and all through history, our greatest military leaders, the number one thing that they held to their men was, if I give unrighteous commands, you can turn those weapons on me. You don't come in a leadership position with the idea that you have to obey everything I say. That's a Jewish concept. That's what they want our people in uniform to believe, because they know the commanders are going to be issuing unrighteous commandments, such as we're going to confiscate the weapons.
And that's another way that they tried to smear the National Socialists in Germany, that these people weren't all of one mind and one will and one purpose, that they were convinced or tricked into this by some tyrant who then said, oh, no matter what the order is, you follow it. No, it was the opposite. This was a righteous man who was elected democratically because he saw the people were a homogeneous population, by the way, white Christians who were so sick and tired of a foreign people who they had welcomed in with open arms because of the good-natured character of our people. The Germans welcomed the Jew in and said, well, you know, you've been kicked out of every other place. You can come stay with us. Meanwhile, the Jews rubbing their hands and taking over every single... I mean, it would be bad enough if they, as guests, took over different, you know, all the systems and institutions. But to the detriment of the indigenous people, the corruption, the amount of prostitution and sex slavery and drugs, and I mean, Berlin was an absolute gem of white Western civilization, and it was turned into a cesspool within a few decades by the Jew. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know we're preaching to the choir here, and we talk about this stuff so that maybe new or newer listeners can hear this. But I think what's so frustrating for me, and you talked about it in your prayers, you just say, how much of this evidence do we need? You know, how much of this proof do we need? How many eras of white Western civilization were our people betrayed and backstabbed and enslaved and impoverished? Do you know how many people died of starvation during the Great Depression?
Oh,
and
millions.
The whole purpose of starting, oh yeah, millions. And that's when 90% of the population did not live in the cities. Only 10% of the population of the United States lived in the big cities during the Great Depression. And millions and millions of people still starved to death. How's it going to be in the next one? When it's the opposite, only 10% of the population is self-sufficient, living out on the land, as our father commanded us and advised us to do. Now we live in these big Babylon cities that we think are so glittery and shiny and have so many so-called conveniences. I don't like them. I worked in New York City for 15 years. Pardon my language, but I thought it was a shithole. And everybody said, well, don't you miss going there? No. I couldn't wait, like Fred Flintstone, the Abba Dabba Doo, when the bell rang, get the hell out of there and go home.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't wait. So we're all being tricked. I mean, how many people possibly believe that in a depression or during a civil war, you're going to be able to take all those Chinese restaurant and Jew deli menus out of your drawer, you know, in your kitchen in New York City, and you're still going to get your delivery of your food? What are you going to eat? Where's your water going to come from? White people run all the water treatment systems and sanitation, and they repair all the elevators, the ones that work, anyway.
Right.
White people design, build, create, maintain everything in these cities. Why do you think there are ruins all over the world? And people say, gee, I wonder what must have happened to these people.
Yep.
Doesn't Scripture talk about that? These merchants are going to whine and moan because they're going to say, wow, these once great cities where we used to make all this money, they're going to be in flames. They're going to be destroyed.
Revelation, John in Revelation says that in a short, it says within 1 hour, but the actual Greek just says that within a short period of time, Babylon will burn, and it's an economic collapse. You can tell because of the rest of the verses that talk about the merchants and the government people are the ones doing the weeping and wailing. And part of the reason they're doing that is because people aren't buying their goods. And I'm wondering if that's if John meant, not only are we not going to seek their baubles, their glitz and glitter that they try to sell us, the fake, phony pieces of shit produce, but we're not going to buy their propaganda either. We're not going to buy the control of the narrative and all of the other mechanisms they use to brainwash us and to deceive us. I'm beginning to think that that might be part of it as well, because once you clear your brain and you see through their lies and deceptions, I know for myself and those that are like me, we don't want any Jewish garbage. We don't want their money. We don't want their silver, their gold. We don't want their produce. We don't want anything that they've touched. It's contaminated. It's disease.
I think you're 100% right. The assumption will be automatically, if a Jew said it, produced it, put it on one of these screens, imported it from China or whatever, we just assume automatically it's not good for us.
Right.
Don't touch it.
Well, let's get back for just a second on this whole concept. I'd like the fact that John Mark and Kurt Doolittle are talking about it, but I see a time where our people are going to have to rally around Father's anointed, whoever that is. I look at it as a singular leader. I mean, tell me if you think that that's wrong, but I don't. We're not going to get there if we wait for a consensus. It's never going to happen. The Jew knows that. That's why they push this whole idea of democracy and governments and parliaments and all that. That's Jew propaganda. Our people always followed leaders that they elected, leaders that they thought exemplified their mission in life and their value system. Always. We didn't follow politicians. Even the Goths talk about the fact in that video, it was the Goths recorded the fact that they had no respect for the Romans because the Romans fell into that. When the Romans were warriors and followed their generals, they were a great and mighty empire, and then they became these soft little cucks that sat around philosophizing and saying that the Roman Senate was powerful and let a bunch of corrupt morons go in there and just debase everything. But the Goths didn't fall into that. They didn't want any part of that. You see what I'm saying? I think we need to return to our ancestors and the way our biblical ancestors operated was under the idea of singular leaders or a leader with a small band of subordinates who were his privy council. But the point of it is, looking for consensus is just a way to divide us, because the only ones that have a consensus are Jews. They're monsters, they're thieves, they're assassins, they're liars, they're misfits. They're consistent. Our people aren't. You can't get a consistency amongst our people. You can't get that. So we need, I think anyway, and Malachi, as far as I'm concerned, Malachi 4 is leading us in that direction. Because when he says, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet, the idea there is the fact that this guy is going to awaken our people from a slumber. And we need to, and it says, return to our fathers. Well, it doesn't mean just to recognize who our ancestors were. It means return to the way they lived, the way they thought, the way they fought. The whole package. And so, again, if you think or see it a different way, let me know. But it seems to me that's what our people should be looking for, is a person who represents that kind of military leader that they can get behind. And because this is a war, Mike. It's a war.
No, I agree. I think that what needs to happen is, and this dovetails, the recognition of the two great commandments, the way that our way of life is summed up. Recognize Yah first, keep his ways in all things, and treat your racial brother as yourself. If we would do those two simple things, which I think is in alignment with what you're talking about, mm-hmm. we need, you know, the Mosaic model of, hey, in this community of, let's say, 50 homes where you live, in this small part of your county, who's the council of elders, right? And then that hierarchy that goes all the way up to who's the leader of the Israelite people. Bingo. I mean, that's what needs to happen. And as is the case, it looks like in Scripture, Father selects whoever it is. So mm-hmm. I think whoever it is, that person, I mean, look, I think here's another good model, right? We can't use the wisdom of men to try to select this person. Maybe they're not 7 feet tall like Saul supposedly was, the first king. He was inept. he didn't follow the orders of Yah and the prophet. He did whatever he thought was right, and he failed miserably. His life, to me, is the example of somebody who had all the tools. He had the hardware and the software, anointed by the Most High to be the first king of our people, and he failed miserably. He had every single tool. And if you looked at him, you said, oh, yeah, that's him. He was head and shoulders in height. Big, strong, handsome, you know, everybody liked him, the whole thing. Well, no, he failed miserably. So I don't think men are good judges of picking. That's why I think elections are horse hockey. Men are not good at picking their leaders. I think that person that you're describing, one way or another, will just come out. You know, you will know. Oh, that's got to be the person. And of course, it'll be a male. You know, it's not going to be a woman. So, no. We'll see. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe I said it wrong. I don't mean it in the sense that we'll pick somebody. I meant it in the sense that we should be on the lookout for the person that has the anointing, because you're right. The anointing has to come from the Father.
Exactly. No, I agree completely.
Yeah, that I agree with. You're right. I didn't mean it like an election where people will campaign and we'll – no, because you're right. We fail miserably at that sort of thing. But what I'm saying is we should be on the lookout for his anointed to lead us as a warrior king, just like David did. Okay.
And that's why I brought up the twofold, two great commandments.
Right.
The person who is the anointed will have that as his business model.
Oh, amen. Amen. Oh, yeah. As a minimum, I think, as a minimum, he would have that.
Yep.
I wanted to, real quick, Mike, I want to read the nine noble virtues that was sent to me by a fella, and I think it's phenomenal. I would like to read this on every program, because this is our people. And it came from a website called joshualightningwarrior.wordpress.com. Again, Joshua Lightning Warrior, and that's all together. Perfect name for the website, but it's the nine noble virtues are based on virtues found in historical Norse and Germanic paganism, gleaned from various sources, including the poetic Edda, particularly the Havamal, and the, I can't even pronounce it, it's Swedish or whatever, and as evident in the Icelandic sagas. Again, these are all our people, though. There are a wonderful set of guidelines for honor and morality. Amen. Number one, courage. I face my fear and defend my family and kindred or tribe from all dangers. Number two, discipline. I do what is necessary and right of my own accord without bribe or threat. Fidelity. I am true to my family, friends, kindred or tribe, and those to whom I pledge service. Honor. I stand by my oaths and honor my ancestors by keeping my name pure among the tribe or kindred. Hospitality. I share hearth, food, and drink with my friends, my kindred or tribe, and the weary traveler at my door. Industriousness. I take joy in labor and hold nothing back from the work I pledge to do. Perseverance. I press on against all odds until my goal is met. The task is finished, and I have done all I have said I will do. Self-reliance. I learn skills and grow strong so that I may earn my way in the worlds and be no burden to others. Truth. I seek the truth even when it may be a hard truth. I speak true words or stand in silence, and I defend the truth from those who do not honor it. Hallelujah. Are those nine noble virtues?
Oh, amen. Yeah, of course. Yeah. And again, not to look at the negative, but these things have often been used against us. In other words, these incredible strengths that we have been used against us. In other words, the incredible ability on the field as a warrior and the patriotism. Well, if we're beguiled and tricked, we can even be talked into murdering our own kind. A lot of brilliant military historians have called World War I and World War II the European Civil Wars, because it was where the Jew convinced Israelite people to murder each other for fun and profit.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, yes. Yeah. So, this is one thing that we need to be careful about, But if you want to go over the, you know, the individual traits, I mean, I agree with them wholeheartedly.
I just did. Those were the nine noble virtues. They're short, succinct, and right on the money. So, but the number one thing that I want people to understand, and I believe that some significant people are listening to these broadcasts. I just, somehow, some way, somebody's either copying them on a thumb drive because they don't want to be caught dead on our website or whatever. But these messages are going out there. The number one thing, besides the fact that we have to understand that we are in a Bolshevik Jewish communist insurgency, the number one thing our people need to understand is figuring out the Jewish question. That's number one. Because you can't fix anything on this earth until you solve that problem. Because they undermine everything. Everything.
Yep. Yeah, we see that model. I mean, they're the actual literal children of the adversary. And we see that in Scripture. It says, during the millennial reign, you know, when the kingdom is first established here in the earth, what's going to happen? The adversary is going to be chained and put away for a time, because you can't run a godly civilization with that, you know, creature running around influencing everyone. So, and at that time, the Jews will have already been, you know, wiped out due to that, you know, the burning of all the stubble that we talk about a lot.
Amen. In fact, towards that end, I got a note from Gertrude Ziegler up in the North Country. He is about ready to publish his book, and according to what he told me, this is going to be a This is going to be a barn burner, according to what he told me. I've read the rough draft manuscript, and it is extraordinary. So supposedly he's done a lot to it since then because of different comments and people that have added material. But he's going to be ready within the next couple months to publish it. So when that comes out, I'm going to have him come on to the show and talk about the new book. But it's going to be another tool, another weapon that we can use to open the eyes on people, because it's going to very much deal with the Jewish question. Because, and here's the other beautiful thing. We're beginning, just now beginning, to see white people are starting to lose the fear of the Jew. When they're willing to get on a public platform and talk about Jews, that means they're losing the fear. And that's how the Jews have set it up. They want us to be afraid, constantly afraid, to even mention them, let alone go into their nefarious activities. But our people are starting to lose the fear of government and the fear of the Jew, which are almost synonymous because they completely dominate in government. So that's good news. So there's a couple of good things that are happening. And now, we're one more day closer to the Jubilee and to Obadiah 18, so that part, I say hallelujah. But in the meantime, man, it's ugly watching and learning about all of the sick, demented things that are going on.
So here's a question I've always had. You know, the Jew always uses, you know, plausible deniability. Whenever you bring anything up from history, why don't all these thousands of Jewish organizations come to the table and say, hey, look, you know, just point by point by point, deny every single one of these things, whether it's the, you know, the them helping the Moors, you know, invade Spain, or the Bolshevik Revolution, or any of the, you know, their involvement in the Civil War here in America, the Federal Reserve. We need to put together a compendium of all of this evidence of the Jews undermining white civilization from the beginning of time, with, you know, just written like a scholarly paper, and just say, okay, thousands of Jew organizations, come to the table and deny these things, and after you've refuted all of them, stand there and say, every white nation that we're in, we are loyal to you first, not the sand pit, Israelite, So why don't they do that? Because we're right. That's why.
Yeah.
I mean, when you get sentenced by a judge, if you're a first offender and you stand there and say, hey, I never did any of this. I'm sorry. I broke the law. I'll never do it again. You know, blah, blah, blah. But when you've got a rap sheet that is thousands and thousands of lines long of you did this, you were caught. You did this, you were caught. You did this, you were caught. You didn't do one of these? Not one? All this child ritual murder that the British have documented? You know, I mean, all of these crimes against humanity. You didn't do one of them? This is all just some big whitey plot against the Jew? Come on, who believes that, Dan? Who believes that? Well, that's why this big turnaround. All this evidence is getting out, which is the purpose of your program, right? To mm-hmm. warn our people, hey, these are our enemies. And even the Christian Zionists who say, oh, well, stop picking on these people? They didn't do one of these things? They're the kid that stands there that gets caught over and over and over again and then cries and says, why are you picking on me? Really?
Mm-hmm.
No, our people don't believe it anymore. They don't believe it anymore. It's over.
Well, it's like these minorities pulling the race card. I've been really, really happy to see that a lot of the white people that I know down in this area, they're not buying it. In fact, it's actually infuriating them now when people pull the race card. They're sick of it, and that includes Jews.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a wake-up going on. They don't have all the facts and figures yet, obviously, but at least the righteous indignation is starting to burn because they're just pissed. And they're also sick and tired of all this stuff that's been crammed down our throats. There is a book similar to what you're talking about. I don't know if you've read it or not, but have you ever looked at Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's book, Synagogue of Satan?
Oh, yeah, I have it, yeah.
Okay, because that's a compendium of their misdeeds.
That's a great idea. So get Andy, get his book, distribute it to all of our people, and distribute it to all these Jew organizations. Set up a meeting at a hall, and just say, "Hey, show up. This is a free invitation. If none of these things happen, and I mean none of them, you come here and you provide the explanations to refute it. You're on trial. We have the documentation to prove that they did happen. Where's your evidence that it didn't? And if they show up, they're doomed. And if they don't show up, they're doomed. Either
yeah.
way, we win.
Yeah, they're between a rock and a hard place. That's one reason their anger and their chutzpah is so high right now. They have no hereafter. Their only heaven is what they can make this world into. That's why they try to make it like hell, because they are Satan's kids. So they can't really run away from the facts. And when people actually care about the truth and facts, they're doomed. Because their whole game, their whole shtick, so to speak, is lies and deception. And, you know, the anathema to them is somebody telling the truth. They can't handle that. So that's why I say every time we go forward and expose their lies and tell truth, it's like hitting them with the edge of a broadsword. They can't handle that. It pains them to hear the truth because they're nothing but liars, misfits.
Yeah, you know, I totally agree. So the next steps, you know, I know you have for 20 plus years done a really, really great job of, you know, showing the misdeeds of our adversary, proving to people, you know, what our greatest danger is. But now that we know, what do we do? You know, it just irks me. You know, it really twisted my gut when I heard that Governor Cuomo in New York was pushing this law that said that it's illegal to boycott Israel. And I just said, whoa, wait a second. So now in America, and in the economic capital of America, right, New York, the state of New York, the Empire State, you as a business owner, if you do any business with the government whatsoever, and you say, look, I believe that crimes against humanity have been committed, here are the documents from the United Nations to prove it. In other words, use their own organizations and shove it right up their nose and say, how dare you make me do business with a criminal nation? How dare you? And why do I have to do business with a foreign nation? If this country is in such bad economically, especially New York State, whose deficit is just through the roof, why do I have to do business with foreign countries? Shouldn't we be doing business with more Americans? It's just the utter hypocrisy of these people. It sickens me. So what if business owners in New York State just say no? Any business owners says no. If you have any connections whatsoever with Israel, no. And what about demonstrations? Even telling Donald Trump, hey, you give any more money to Israel, we're not voting for you. We're not voting for you. I think what the True News people and their ministry, is up to is amazing. It really, really is. You know, all of the light that's being shined on this Christian Zionism stuff is going to do a lot of damage to them. It really is. This is one of the things that makes people make the decisions that they do about where they spend their money and who they pray to. They've literally been terrified into, from a religious perspective, a godly punishment, a righteous, indignation will come from, your creator if you say or do anything against the Jews. Once that mask is removed, the blinders are taken off, people are just going to say, what the heck have we been doing? Why are we worshiping these people? First of all, you shouldn't worship a man anyway. But what's honorable about these people? What?
You know what it reminds me of, Mike? The scripture in Revelation when it talks about the son of perdition when he's exposed. that's an allegory to the Jew. And it says that when they are cast into the pit, that the people of the earth will walk by and go, this is what deceived the whole world? These snarling, sniveling, schizophrenic, paranoia, demented, snarling misfits, these ugly trolls.
Yep. Just imagine a pit full of Woody Allens and Ruth Ginsburgs.
Oh my God. And Adam Schiff's. Can you imagine that? And Pelosi's and Schumer and all them. Talk about ugly. I mean, ugly in face and ugly in character. Unbelievable. You can just picture Aryans from all over the earth walking by going, how in the hell did we allow that pit full of vipers to sway us?
Yeah.
I can see that picture. You know, that's another thing I want to point out real quick, too, is I did a little research into the, because I knew for a long time when the Greek Testaments were talking about our people, they used the Greek word anthropos. That's where we get our word anthropology. And I was doing a word search on something else, and all these years, and I never noticed that, anthropos is actually a compound word. And here I thought it was a singular word. It's not. It's made up of two halves. The first half is where we get male. But the pos on the end is a shortened form of the same word that means ophthalmology, like the eyes, optimus. It's talking about not just any male. It's talking about the male with the countenance of an Adamic man.
Wow.
So even the Greek word, just like their word for a brother, Adolphos, it meant from the womb. So their word of a brother meant only my racial brother from the same white womb that I'm from. So they had the same word for our men in Anthropos. It was not just a man, but a man where you could see his visage of his face that he reflected Adam. That is an Anthropos. That is one of our kind. That's amazing.
Very, that is amazing. Very insightful.
Unbelievable. Wow. Unbelievable. I had not ever noticed that until now. I knew it was a word for our people, but I had never, for some reason, it just didn't pop into my head that I'd looked further into the makeup of the word, because I assumed, here again, that's what happens when you assume. I assumed it was a singular word. I did not realize it was a compound word. And when you looked up the two halves, it makes perfect sense. Just like he put a mark upon Cain when Cain was banished so that you could see. Well, like you said, that pit full of ugly trolls, obviously, okay, they're not of us. Well, the same thing could be said of who is of us, those who reflect the visage of Adam kind. You look at the Visigoths and the Goths of Spain in the pictures, the statues, and everything else, and tell me, you can't tell the difference between our people and Justinian, okay? Justinian was a kite.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
Obviously, not one of us. So even the Greek language, which, again, came from Hebrew, and Hebrew is a very pictographical language, much like hieroglyphics the same way. Very pictographical, and so is the Greek when you get down to tearing apart the compound words. They do the same thing that our ancient ancestors, the Hebrews, did in their Paleo-Hebrew language. The even the letters, like we said, the word for father in Hebrew is Ab, A-B, Aleph, and Beth. Aleph and Beth. And Aleph is ox or strength. Beth is the word for house. So the very word Ab for father is strength of a household. He's the ox that protects. He's got the horns. He'll protect the household, but he's also the symbol of strength. So the very word Ab, as in Abraham, okay, Ab is pictographical in the sense that it portrays the idea that he's the strength of a household. So it's just amazing. When you do these deep dives into some of the word studies and all, that's our people. That's who we are. We bring light,
amazing.
We bring order, we bring structure, we bring justice, we bring law and order, and they bring just the opposite. They're destroyers.
That's why it's no surprise to me that the Father would, to this day, hide his truth in the Septuagint, which is in Greek, where the whole world is reading from this Masoretic text, you know, this syrupy, sick crap that, you know, the Jews injected about themselves to make themselves look good. Not in the Greek.
Right.
It's not in the Greek. The Father's got a sense of humor there, too.
Well, that's interesting you bring that up, because we keep talking about Malachi chapter 4. And right now, in all my searches, the only text that gets Malachi chapter 4, the final verse right, where it says that Elijah, at the end times, Elijah will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. The English translations, almost all of them, say, and the father's heart to the children. That's not true. The Septuagint says it will turn the heart of the Anthropos to his neighbor. Anthropos, that's our people. It's got nothing to do with fathers and children. It's got to do with you and me, Mike.
Which is the same thing as saying our people start following the second great commandment.
Exactly, exactly. If it fits in hand in glove with what you're saying, that's exactly what I meant. The actual Malachi verse says, "The hearts of the men of Jacob Israel to their kinsmen." No matter where they're at, no matter what language they're speaking, we're kin, we're family. There you go. In a nutshell.
Yep. Yep.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise Yah. That's why when, you know, Christ was in speaking to, you know, people that the Jews considered drunkards or what have you, just imagine you know, the Christ walking into, you know, the Legion Hall and sitting down and having a beer talking about this stuff. I mean, imagine a bunch of Jews pulling up, you know, maybe looking to collect the bill or the property taxes or something, and saying, oh, look at you, all the white guys in there getting drunk. Well, I'm getting drunk because I'm having a beer. You know, this was the Christ saying, I'm sent to talk to my kin about the glad tidings of the kingdom. Hey, don't be down. I'm here. You have a king. We're going to establish a righteous government in this earth. Don't worry. This is all going away. That's what the glad tidings are. Not that right. Baby Jesus died on the cross, and I can do whatever I want now. No.
Yeah, I prayed the sinner's prayer, and I had the Holy Spirit put upon me, and I'm good to go.
That's right.
You know, I'm not saved by works. I've prayed the sinner's prayer, and that pastor put his hands on me, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit, so I don't need to worry about that damn law no more.
Ma, I'm watching John Hagee. Make me another one of them BLTs, would you?
Yeah. Give me another slice of ham there, Martha, and slap on some of that GMO high fructose corn syrup jam and cranberry sauce on there. So I get lots of those chemicals and dyes, and now we got human DNA in the flavoring starting to show up. The Jews have literally poisoned this entire earth. They've poisoned it all. Unbelievable.
Everything they touch, just everything they touch.
Mm-hmm. So, and they brag about that.
Oh, yeah. They say
that. You know, Jews themselves say that about themselves. We are the world's revolutionaries and destroyers, and you will never satisfy us. That's Jews that said that, not me. And that's exactly
That's what the Jew Oppenheimer said after he took credit for developing the atom bomb. He repeated that thing from the ancient Hindu texts. Thus, I become the destroyer of worlds. They brag about it. They love it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Well, I'm of the mindset that, okay, send them. Here's my personal opinion of that. I don't think they have them. I think that was more of their propaganda to instill fear that they developed this stuff. I personally don't think they have them. I could be wrong, but I think it's another mechanism for fear. I'm taking the approach, send them. Do your worst. Come on, send them. Because I don't think you have them. Just like this whole nonsensical thing about the Israelis being great soldiers. No, they're not. They're shitty soldiers. Come on,
well,
send
never
them.
Do it. They'd never do it anyway, because then who the hell would they parasite off of?
Well, that's my point. That's my point. Send them. Yeah. Ship it. Send everyone you got. Put it in the air. Let's see it. Let's see it. First of all, if you did have them, most of them wouldn't even get off the ground. They'd probably blow up in the silos. They don't know how to build shit. So send them. Do your worst. Because those of us that remain are coming after your ass. So do your worst.
Yeah. Because even if it was with sticks and stones, there's no place to hide. We're coming after you.
Well, that's why they're going to pray for the rocks to fall upon them, because we're going to use all of the stuff that they developed to try to enslave us. We're going to be using it to track their sorry asses down. I'm looking for that quote right here that this is one that we need to say every single day. And every time I look for this damn thing, I can't hardly find it. It's only... And I don't want to paraphrase it. I could paraphrase it, but I'm trying to find it real quick here. But it's basically, this one's good. John Stuart Mill. The person who has nothing for which he's willing to fight, nothing which is more important than his own personal safety, is a miserable creature and has no chance of being free unless made and kept so by the exertions of better men than himself. Amen to that. But I was looking for... it's basically the life becomes, here it is. Once you become fearless, life becomes limitless. I thought, wow, that is perfect. That is perfect. Once you become fearless, life becomes limitless. We are the sons of the Most High. Why do we put limits on ourselves? Why do we sit around going, well, you know, it's terrible, we can't fix it, the Jews have too much. Why? The sons of the Creator through Adam. It's fear.
That's why when you get down to, you know, what does the book say? If a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat.
Right.
That doesn't say you have to have a job.
No.
Where did that book say you need to be a slave and be an employer? Or work for an employer. You're already a slave. Your life was bought and paid for. You already have an employer. So if the book says you need to go to work, why would you want a job? I don't want a job. Where they automatically tell you, half of what you make is going to be stolen from you and given to people who hate you. As a matter of fact, I think in this day and age, having a job is immoral. If you know for a fact that getting a job will aid and abet your enemy, I think it's immoral to have one.
Right.
So what about if all of our people, and this could be one of the next steps for fighting back, whatever you love to do, do it. If you're really great at something, somebody will want to trade, barter, purchase, what have you, for that. I mean, there are some things I've got, jotted down that I'm working on that hopefully I will never have to have a job again. What do they say? You know, if you love what you do, no day's a work day.
Yeah.
You know, because you're doing what you love. So I've just completely thrown off in my mind, and this, I think, dovetails with this fear thing. You know, the great, great, that should be a proverb. I'm not afraid. My father has never, ever, 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 ever made me miss a meal. Never, ever caused me to sleep, on the stones outside in the cold. I've always had a nice warm bed to sleep in. I've always had food. I've always had clothing. Do we believe that our father wants us to suffer? No. As a matter of fact, I think, if we would all quit our jobs, we would have so much better quality of life. We the opportunity for Father to bless us would be so much greater.
Oh, amen. Amen. Well, just imagine getting up every day doing what you feel the Father wants you to do without any burdens on you. No property tax, no fees, no registrations, no dues. All of it gone. You don't owe a thing to anybody. It's all make-believe. That's like this national debt thing. They constantly harp on it. There is no national debt. Why do people buy that bullshit? There is no national debt. How can you owe money on something that doesn't exist? You don't.
And I ask people, even if we did owe it, who do we owe it to?
Our enemy.
The Chinese. Really? It's not the Chinese. The Chinese are a speck. Of what that debt is, a speck compared to what is borrowed from the Federal Reserve, private banks, Jew banks. So why doesn't anybody ask that?
Right.
Well, the federal debt. Who do we owe it to, and why are we borrowing so much money? For what? Where does it go?
Yeah,
the Reese Commission proved that not a single penny of American taxpayer money goes towards providing services for Americans. Where's all this money going? Why do we have to borrow so much?
Well, Mike, come on. The Jews are buying up Christian businesses and farms and land. I mean, it takes money.
Right.
Are you gonna deprive the poor Jew from stealing our resources and disenfranchising the people that founded this nation? I mean, come on, Mike, please.
And then
facetious.
Yeah, no, seriously. And then the utter balls of these people with this whole 08-09, what they call financial crisis. Anybody just pull up the video of Secretary Paulson at the time. Treasury Secretary is sitting there And they're he's testifying to Congress about where all this money's going to go in this TARP bailout. And one of the line items said $250 million to go to the Secretary of the Treasury. And this one congressman, I forget, says, but that's you. Why do you get $250 million out of this? And we just bought it. Hook, line, and sinker. We just accepted it. Why were these people all not strung up? I mean, our ancestors would be ashamed of us. They would have run out in the streets, and they would have gotten whatever farm implements they needed and killed all of these people and said, we don't owe you anything. Let's see the books. Just wiped it out and said, start all over. And why does the average dumb American, when they turn their TV on every day, believe the horse shit that, oh, well, as Wall Street goes, you know, that's a real judgment on how the economy goes. Really? Really? So that casino that these Jews and the fools who play in it, they look at it and they say, oh, well, this is a determining factor in how well business is doing in America. So that means that's how well I'm doing. No. Add it up, folks. When those companies' stocks go up, does that mean food prices or gas prices or the prices of cars or anything get better for you? Does that mean you're getting better deals or there are more jobs for you? No. As a matter of fact, the more the stocks go up, the more the Jew accountants sit there and say, oh, we need to get rid of more employees to make this business more efficient and more profitable. No way does Wall Street stock have anything to do with your personal life, unless you're investing in it like a knucklehead. I just, the more I hear the scripture, you know, I hear it in my mind sometimes. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
The decisions that we make to help our enemies on a daily basis are just mind-boggling. And I'm guilty of it. I know I am. I don't know how many products are on my shelves in my cupboard where you look and there's that K for kosher in there. Problem is, you can't buy anything in a grocery store that doesn't have it. I mean, it's almost impossible to get a decent product that doesn't have the K on there. Well, that's like a bribe. That's a Jew tax. That's another cost that's added to our food. Why? I can't take it.
Yep. Well, it's coming to a head. So hallelujah for that. You know, we're at the end of the age, the Earth Age, and so the Jubilee's right around the corner.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. And I know I'll have to make an accounting for everything I've said and done, but even if I didn't make it, just for the love of my people and the personal hell that we all go through every day, just end this. Just end it. The kingdom's got to get here or everyone and everything will be destroyed. It's just, I'm done. I'm... When is the next phase going to happen? You know, it's like, okay, we have the script. We know what happens at the end of the movie or at the end of the show, at the play. So when is it going to happen already?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, along the lines of what you just said, Rick Wiles and Doc Burkhart brought up a good point. And again, we've said this on our shows. If the Bolshevik insurrection is successful, is this a world that you want to live in? People that are afraid of dying or sacrificing to bring down this enemy, if they succeed, do you really want to be alive to see what's going to happen next?
Exactly.
You know, it's a good point because, you know, and I've said it, if you read Alexander Solzhenitsyn or if you read The Long Walk, written by that guy that escaped from a gulag in Siberia many years ago, Or if you read, like you said, the myth of the Andalusian paradise, all of these authors tell you what's coming. Okay, nothing new under the sun. Their behavior is well documented. It's a hell. It's pure hell. Why would you want to live through that? Why would you want to live to watch what's going to happen to your grandchildren and your sons and daughters? And even to yourself, but especially to the people you care about. Why would you want to live under that? Wouldn't it be better to go down fighting?
Yeah. Well, that's what I say all the time when you see these videos of these people that, you know, just climb into these ditches and get shot in the back of the head. Well, I mean, take a couple guys out at least. Scratch their eyes out. You know, do something. Don't just do it. I mean, that was one of the things that Sholzenitsyn used to write about. He'd say, it must have been the fluoride, because why did, you know, there would be only 3 or 4 guards and 100 slaves. They weren't even chained up. And they would just walk back and forth and do whatever they were told. You know, they'd be out in some field somewhere, out in some blizzard. Take them out. Kill the guards. You know you're going to die anyway. You might even escape.
So but the main thing is you're going to die anyway. You're right. Take one of the bastards with you.
Yep.
Sold Solzhenitsyn in his interview, I listened to one of his interviews, and he also wrote it in his book. He said the Cheka, which was Jewish, the secret police, the Cheka, he goes, they would not have succeeded if we'd have rose up at all. If the members of the Cheka knew that any night they went out there to drag people out of their homes in the middle of the night, that they might not come home that night, probably wouldn't have succeeded. But the Russian people didn't fight.
Yeah.
Take the bastards down.
Yep.
Don't be like that. Don't go quietly into that long night. Make a noise. Go out with the roar of a lion, not the whimper of a lamb. That's not what Father wants of us. He wants us to roar like lions. Yeah, they might get you. But go down roaring like a lion. Take one of those bastards with you, or take a whole regiment with you, whatever.
You could be, with your one act, you could be the spark that, you know, the shot heard around the world.
That you could be the
inspired, you could be the, you know, the inspiration for the revolution that throws these bastards off our back. I mean, that's why I never underestimate the act of even a single righteous man. Even just the words, you know. And here's the thing that really gets me. I'm not saying anybody any age. You know, even if you were on your deathbed with stage 4 cancer, I'm not saying you should do something stupid or reckless. But what about all these people? And we're getting there, right, Dan? I mean, you've got a few moons on me, but the elderly, the white population in this country and in the West is old. What are they waiting for? I know you lose a little testosterone when you're a man when you get older, but what are you afraid of? What are they going to do to you? You're going to die soon anyway. Do you really, really, really love your, you know, your achy joints and your retirement and, you know, whatever it is you're experiencing in your old age? Do you love that more than you love your own people? Do you not care about the world that you're turning over to your children and your grandchildren and maybe your great-grandchildren if you've been blessed enough? Speak up. Use your resources. I mean, these, I just don't understand. I mean, at what point does somebody say, I cannot go to my grave and turn this world over in its current condition to my children? I can't do it. I can't do it. I don't understand. Well, maybe you're right. I think you are right. I think the stuff's turning around, and hopefully, you know, this big voting bloc, this, and what do they call it? The, what's that big union of retired people? NARP?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, National Association of Retired Persons, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully they'll speak up.
Well, I think that's run by Jews, though. So it, if it's run by Jews, it's not going to be, you know. I got a few quotes that go along with what you were just saying. This one was sent to me by one of our listeners. He used to be up in South Dakota named Barry. But he sent me a quote from the movie The Man in the Iron Mask, which was made back in 1998. I'd rather die covered in blood than an old man laying in my own piss. So there you go. That's exactly right. Another one is disobedience to tyrants is obedience to God. That's from our founding fathers. Thomas Jefferson, when injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. And then Thomas Paine told us this one here you need to really think about. The strength and power of despotism consists wholly, meaning completely, in the fear of resistance. All their power is in our fear of resistance. They know the day that the white man says, I've had enough, and decides to fight back, their days are over. That's why they spend all of their waking moments and all of those vast numbers of electronic, digital, fake money doing everything they can to keep us afraid. That's why I don't watch any television. I don't watch any media. Its purpose is to keep you confused and afraid. I don't believe in the Samson option. I don't believe a damn thing that they say anymore. I say, bring it on. Bring it on. Bring your worst. Bring the best that you've got. Let's see what happens. Let's see who the last man standing on the battlefield is. Bring it on. Bring it on.
Right. This is one of the reasons why they want so many foreigners in our country. Because they are so afraid of what we can do when we're united. And they don't want us to be a homogeneous population with one will and one mind. They're terrified of that. So they think if they flood our nations with people who are not our kin, that they would be able to say, see, the white man hates you, and create their own mongrel army. That's what they think they're doing. But when these other peoples, the Hispanics, the Asians, when wake up to what the Jew is doing too, it's going to all backfire on them.
Exactly. That's why I say exposing them right now is the greatest weapon that we've got. Because when fathers and uncles and grandparents and cousins find out what these bastards have done to innocent men, women, and children, the truth, they won't, literally, the Bible will come to pass. They won't be able to hide. They'll be asking the rocks to fall on them and to hide them away from the wrath of the people.
What kind of a sick, demented mind, knowing that you've won the war, and I'm referring to what was done in Dresden, you've won the war. It's all been, you know, hammered out on paper. You know, there wasn't an official surrender, but what kind of a sick mind would pick a place that was a cultural hub, mostly women and children and the elderly, people who were not fit enough to go to war or were too old, and bomb that place, firebomb it with hundreds of tons of weapons whose purpose was to create these firestorms so that none be left alive? What kind of a sick mind would do that, knowing, even if you thought that that was a strategic place to win a battle in a new war, who would do that? What kind of a demonic people would do that to men, women, and children when the war was already won?
A Jew.
The Jew, Eisenhower, and his staff.
His Jew staff that planned it. And you know another reason why they did it? What was Dresden, Germany at that time? It was the Western European cultural center of Christianity.
Right.
There were more artifacts and architecture of the Christian faith in Dresden than any other Western European nation or city. So it was the typical Jew animosity and enmity towards Christ and his children. That's why they wanted to do it. The same as they took over Russia, because what was Moscow at the same time? Moscow was the center of Christian culture and heritage in Eastern Europe. So
right.
The Jew took over both of them. So what did the Bolsheviks and the Cheka do in Moscow when the Bolshevik Revolution, the Jew Revolution, succeeded? Is that they murdered the priests, the nuns, and destroyed the churches in Moscow.
Mm-hmm. And
who
there's every indication biblically that the real descendants of the tribe of Judah, not these Jews claiming they are, the real descendants of the tribe of Judah are the Germanic people.
Yeah.
So that's another reason why they would want them wiped out. Get rid of all of the breeding stock so that the real tribe of Judah could never reproduce again.
Yeah. Yep. Amen. Yep, it's all coming true. Scripture, again, when it's correctly interpreted and you get the right manuscripts, like you said, not the polluted, lying pen of the scribes, like in the Masoretic text. But when you get the actual writings of our ancestors, and the Holy Spirit testifies to this, you see the whole ugly truth. And again, once again, when you wipe away the facade, you look and you see the face of a Jew behind every despicable, demonic, inhumane act that has been done against mankind. These pieces of shit show up every time.
That's right.
Facts are facts. If people can't handle facts, then they need to go listen to television. They'll tell lie after lie after lie. Go listen to the Jew in Washington. He'll lie to you till you fall asleep. Look at Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff is the perfect example of the Jew termite that's eating away at our sustenance. Perfect example. He not only looks demonic, he acts demonic. He speaks like a demon. He is the embodiment of what the Jew termite looks like and acts like. Perfect. You could throw in Pelosi and Schumer and the rest of the horde in there, but Adam Schiff is like in your face, and they got him on the Jew tube and on your flat screens all the time. So, all right, we'll use it then, because he is the embodiment of what we're talking about. Adam Schiff is the embodiment of the despicable, demented, paranoid, schizophrenic, Bolshevik, communist, Zionist Jew. Perfect. Not a shred of integrity in him. He can't even look sincere. He is so demonic, so evil. Such a liar. He can't even fake being honest and sincere. You can't even fake it. Some of them can fake it a little bit, but he can't even fake it. He's so sick and evil. It comes out of his pores. It comes across in his facial expression. So he is in the embodiment of everything we're talking about. Just look at Schiff and the way he looks and acts. There you go. There you go. In a nutshell. There you go.
Isn't he a descendant of the disgusting Jew ship banking house that established Federal Reserve and fractional reserve banking in America?
There's some people looking into that. I know that there is some postulation that that's a possible connection, but I don't know of anybody that's actually made that connection yet. But there are people looking into it, and that's the good thing that's happening right now. There's an army of citizen journalists digging into all kinds of stuff, and it's just amazing the stuff that's being put together. Amazing, exposing these bastards. So Whether you and I make it through what's coming down the pike, Mike, it doesn't really matter because their days are numbered. This exposure, exactly as Christ told us, that nothing that's hidden will be, there's nothing hidden that will not be made known. That's where we're approaching. We're in those days right now. Just as we watch all this hideous stuff going on, the good news is that the exposure of these people has never been greater than it is right now at the same time. So, hallelujah. They need to be exposed. They need to have the light of truth shown on them, and then you'll see the ugly, the ugliness of these people. Ugly, everything about them is ugly. Not only their mugs, which they look like trolls. They look like something from another world. Not only the ugliness on the outside, but the ugliness with inside. Madeleine Albright is a perfect caricature of that. Just look at Madeleine Albright, and you'll see a perfect picture of what I'm talking about. Ugly on the outside, and even uglier on the inside. There you go. Don't have to look any further.
They can't hide it. They can't disguise it. What about
the meme
that you sent out with all of the faces of the Jews who are most vociferous about gun control in America? Look at the, I mean, they look like characters from that bar scene in Star Wars. Just utter disgusting. I mean, they look like Muppets. They look like something that you'd create by hand to purposefully look ugly. They're just rotten from the inside. They're disgusting. And then every once in a while, there'll be an outlier of a Jew who doesn't look like a troll, and I'll say, well, that's because they're a mongrel. They're mixed with our people, with white people.
Right. Exactly. Exactly why the Jews and the Moors took off many European women as slaves to bring in the Adamic blood into their polluted bloodlines, okay? Because they knew that they wouldn't amount to much in generations coming forward. So they took a lot of the white women of Europe that they captured and sold them off as slaves in North Africa and the Middle East. And that's where some of these nations have at least a semblance of the appearance of white people. And that's where it comes from. These monsters stole off our women out of Europe, and they're still doing it. They're still selling off our women out of Europe and Eastern Europe on the market. Nothing's changed. So that's why they did it, and that's why the Father told us that nothing that offends him is going to come into the kingdom, and these people are the most offensive creatures to ever walk the earth. These mongrelized misfits. I'll tell you, the truth hurts. It's a hard truth, but Father wants to know who wants the truth and who is going to continue to live a lie. That's what he wants to know, because we're getting ready to go into whatever it is he's got on the other side. This time on this earth is almost over. It's served its purpose, and we're going to find out what's on the other side. But this isn't it, folks. If you think this is it, you're crazy. So he's separating those that are worthy to go on to what's next. This world is about ready to change. That's why he said, I'm going to roll it up like a scroll. I'm done with it. This world has done what I needed. I need to find out who are the souls that are worth saving. Who are the souls that I'm going to use on the other side for eternity? And what souls am I going to allow to stay here and burn up like stubble? Because I'm about ready to change this whole world. This whole world is going to be completely different. Doesn't mean it's going to go away. Nothing in Scripture says it's going to go away. It is going to change, though. He's going to burn off the dross, just like he talks about silver. The silversmith turns up the flame until it burns off the dross. And then it becomes purified silver. He's purifying his silver right now. That's you and me. And he's almost done. He's almost done.
You just made me think of something. Like in Matthew, when it talks about Matthew 24, I believe all of the signs of the coming of the end. Look at all the disasters that have happened. Earthquakes, tsunamis, wildfires, all of these things that have happened. Do they come from the hand of Yah, or are they the mistakes of men, or are they the tricks of the Jew, the disgusting, acts of corrupt souls? I don't know. But when you look at the videos, I remember a video that happened. It was during the World Series between the Oakland A's and the San Francisco Giants. And I didn't watch the game. I wanted to see what it looked like to be in an earthquake in one of these. These stadiums are probably, so they're supposedly engineered so well, but they're probably made on the cheap, and they're so, so fragile. It looked like a set from a movie, Dan, where there were just people just terrified, and they were, that little building in the hand of our Creator is like a speck. He could have just flicked it, with a finger of his, and just, sent it across the the North American continent. What happens during an earthquake? Now, just imagine that 1,000 times, 10,000 times. Imagine Yellowstone, exploding. The great volcano that they say, is under there. That's ready to go. Just all of the things that could happen that are maybe even being held back by the Father's hand right now. People have seen these things with their own eyes, these terrible, terrible disasters. Yet when they read it in the Bible that this is what's going to happen, they don't believe it. That's what I don't understand. It's amazing to me that you could see it, people will believe more of, about aliens coming to the earth than they will the Father saying, "Well, there's going to be earthquakes, and there's going to be plagues. Scientists say the plague is coming to California." Oh no, that's not. I don't believe that. Well, you don't believe it when it says it in the Bible, but you believe it when some fragile man says it on the news.
Right.
You're right. When you say, "I think there's a culling of the herd coming," there is.
Yep. Well, he said, "I'm going to separate the wheat from the tares." Okay. Now, we got a lot of pious, smug individuals who think they're part of the wheat when they're really not. They're the part of the crowd that he says, "Get away from me. I never knew you. I don't know who you are. Yeah, you said you did things in my name and all that, but you don't even know my real name. You don't know anything about me. You think I love everybody the same. You don't know me. You think I sent my disciples out to preach this good news to the whole world when I sent them to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I don't know you. You're part of that worldwide church that just loves everybody that does the will of Satan and Satan's kids. I don't know you. Get away from me. I can't wait to see that. I'm going to sit there with the biggest smile on my face. Yeah, it's not easy being a truth teller in this world full of misfits and liars. But I'm going to tell you something. It's going to be a lot better to have lived a life in here doing this than it will be standing in front of him that day when he says, get away from me. Basically, you piece of shit. I don't know you. How dare you even speak my name?"
That's right.
They're smug. And
I've had people say to me, even people in my own, "Oh, you just want to be right. You like this. This information just tickles you." Oh, really? Oh, really? I want to be right? I want to be right that maybe hundreds of millions, if not billions, of people are going to be destroyed because they can't listen to what their Creator said? It gives me pleasure to know that maybe even my own children will perish in what's coming because they don't listen? What kind of a sick mind would say that? The heart that's been put in me says, just like what the Father says, I don't take pleasure in seeing any of my kin perish. But that book says it's going to happen. And I'm not holier and more righteous than Yah himself. I'm not going to say, "Oh, well, save them all, save them all." Well, if he can't do it, what am I going to do? What are men going to do? This is this sick philosophy that the Jew has also put in us, Dan, in our people, that, "Oh, well, everybody's going to make it. God loves everybody." Really? Tell me where it says that in your Bible.
Well, that's why I like keep going back to the Titanic. Okay, the Titanic's only got so many lifeboats, and you're all sitting there going, "Well, no, God loves all of us. We're all going to make it, really." Let's see, we only got 10 lifeboats. That'll hold about 300 people. So what's going to happen to the 2,000 that are left? Well, we're all going to make it because God loves everybody. Really? Let me know how that works for you because I'm getting in my lifeboat. Okay?
Yeah.
You people are fools. You're absolute fools. Professing themselves wise, they became as fools. That verse rings true. That's our people. Professing themselves wise, they became as fools. They are simpletons and fools. Believing a gospel that says everybody's the same and God loves everybody because it's safer, it's softer, it's easier, it tickles the ears, it puts more shekels in the plate, whatever the reason. They can't stand the hard truth. Well, you're a fool. Enjoy your ride on the Titanic because it's probably about halfway full of water right now. So you got a little bit left, but not much more. She's going down. And you're missing the lifeboat. We're out here in the lifeboats, and we've got a megaphone, and we're yelling, "Get in the boats, folks! Get in the boats!" And most people are just, "Well, we're having a good time. There's still champagne at the bar, and the band's still playing, and I can still take Mama back to the cabin and get laid. So everything's okay. Everything's okay. Don't worry about it, Dan. You guys just row on out there because you're in that little bit boat, and I'm in this big old Titanic having a good time. Yep." Enjoy it.
That's right.
You'll enjoy it until that icy cold water hits your feet. And then all of a sudden it's a rude awakening.
This makes me think of Eli's wicked sons, Hophni and the second Phineas, not the Phineas we love. They were the actual sons of a prophet.
Yeah.
These guys were like Americans. Most Americans who think that they were born into some rich family with great privilege and that they could do no wrong and they had the keys to the front of the church and, you know, as long as they said the right names, they could, you know, be fornicating with the whores and, you know, and doing whatever they wanted. But no, no, my dad's a prophet. I can do whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. That's a sign for us, people. That's an example that you can't just keep running around saying what you think the name of God is and think that's some kind of get-out-of-jail-free card. There are requirements. What father wouldn't put requirements on their kid? Oh, no, you just need to run around and say my name, Jones, or... you know, Robinson or whatever. No. No. You can't be like some spoiled brat Jew kid running around saying, my daddy is Jacob Schiff and you're in trouble. No. You are required to think and speak and behave in a certain way. Get your nose in that book, your Bible, and figure out what it is. Because you're going to have to answer for it, and if you don't want to take up the plagues that are coming on this time, I mean, you don't do a lot of fire and brimstone preaching, Dan. I know you don't. It's not your style, but that's basically what this book is saying. Hey, there's a kingdom coming. You want to be a part of it? Okay, do these things. If not, you're in trouble. You're going to be suffering a lot.
Amen.
Well, figure out what those things are you should be doing and supporting this work. And when you bend knee, you can say, hey, I knew your name. I'm weak. I tried to obey you and keep your commandments, and I was loyal to you. Amen. Come on in, good and faithful servant.
Amen.
And then you can stand there. Go ahead.
Well, you just brought to mind something real quick here before we go with it. I was in conversation with family the last couple of days, and it just never ceases to amaze me. These are family that have known me for decades, obviously. They know what I'm talking about. They know about the natural health things. And how many of them suffer I just found out one of the family members has got Parkinson's. They've got a little bit of Alzheimer's. And these are not very old people, by the way. I've got a son with some issues because of a drug he's taking for irritable bowel. And just case after case after case within my own family, okay? My own family that has heard about this stuff for ages. And I just sit there and I go, why? Well, natural's not covered by insurance. Natural takes too long. Natural would make me change my habits, and, well, I just can't do that. Mike, tell me if I'm wrong. Isn't one of the basic principles of Scripture is that the blessing comes in the doing, not the thinking, not the I would like to be a better person, or I recognize you're the creator and this is your law. That's good enough. I don't actually have to do it. Isn't it the blessings come?
Yes, and that's the nature of repentance. Repentance isn't just about spiritual things. I found that a certain brand of stevia I was putting in my coffee made me break out. I looked and saw that it had an ingredient in it called carrageenan. It's a poison seaweed. Stop taking it. So this wasn't a willful sin, but I repented, meaning I went 180. I turned my back on using this product.
Right.
Do you think the people you're talking about would repent of their behaviors, or do they want to just take a pill to make it all go away? That's covered by insurance.
Well, it's a little bit of everything. It's laziness. It's financial in the sense of insurance. They got excuses. What it is, it just makes me think of when Christ talked to that rich man, and some of the other people in his day. They always had an excuse. Well, I've got too much money. I've got too many friends. I'll be called names, or I'll lose my possessions. Blah 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 blah. Excuse after excuse after excuse, never once thinking that you're talking to the Creator, and that if you put His plan and His law in motion in your life, you don't think He could open doors and bless you? They don't want to take the chance. What again does that go back to? Will I find faith upon the earth when I return? Will I find faith? Sadly, not much. Not much. Not faith that matters.
Yeah, those are the same people on Thanksgiving. Oh, where's the shrimp cocktail?
Oh, I know.
It's like,
I know.
Could you try to not, even if you didn't believe that these pleadings and beggings, here's the instruction manual, I made your body, here's how you should operate it and take care of it. Even if you didn't believe those things came from an almighty creator. So many people do them and see success from them. Just try it. See what happens. It's just it's amazing where people want, it's the scripture, Dan, tell us smooth things. Tell us easy things. Tell us things that are going to make me feel good about me. I don't want to change. I want you to tell me I'm okay the way I am right now.
Right. Well, I know we're running long here, but you just brought to mind, I had a granddaughter talk to one of the elders in the family recently. She's, I think she just turned 13. And she was telling her about, somehow they got into a discussion about some of the Bible stuff and everything, and she said, well, you know, you should, killing babies is wrong. Oh, no, it's not wrong. What do you mean it's not wrong? She goes, well, it's my body. I can do whatever I want with it. So this is why I say, folks, get your children out of public school. For God's sakes, get them out of these schools. They are dens of iniquity. Then she said something about, you're probably thinking about boys now. You're getting to that age, and, you know, you want to stay within your own kind. Oh, it won't matter what color my boyfriend is. What? Oh, no, we're all the same, so it doesn't matter. On the inside, we're all the same, so his skin color doesn't matter. This is what they're pounding down the throats of our children in these dens of iniquity. Not only the fact that, unfortunately, her biological mother is a piece of shit, besides that point, who wouldn't know right from wrong if it smacked her upside the head. She's a complete retard, okay? That's part of the problem. But the other part of the problem is television, society, and the education. She is getting inundated with this absolute horse pucky instead of biblical hard truths. And there's a price to pay for
about
that.
It. They're smug about it when they say it, these kids.
Oh, I know.
They're smug about it. Dan, real quick, last story. I know you got to go. In Ireland recently, the Irish Parliament had minors, kids ranging from 8 to 15 years old, come to them and give them their recommendations on how to deal with climate change. The scripture about you will be ruled over by women and children.
Yep.
And they were indignant about it, screaming at these men and women in Parliament saying, you're ruining our world. How dare you?
Well, they need to look at the synagogues if they want to know who's ruining the world and stay away from me. I'm not ruining your damn world. Go look at the synagogues. Okay? Look at the men who've got pockets full of billions of dollars of fake shekels that are ruining your world, sickos. Okay? You want to fix this world, go down and pull down every synagogue in this world. Bulldoze every single one of them to the ground. Take every shekel that's in the hands of a Jew.
Yep.
That's right. Get rid of centralized banking altogether. You want to fix this world, then get rid of the people destroying it. It's called Judaism. It's called Talmudism. It's called Satanism. There you go. You want to fix things, then fix it. I like that David Henry Thoreau said, for every man swinging at the branches of evil, there's one trying to cut at the root. Okay? We got thousands of people swinging to try to take care of the branches of evil, which is all these nefarious things going on, the Kabuki theater. How many people want to cut the root? Hey, I grew up on a farm. I know you want to take a tree down, you cut the root. You don't sit there and take one branch at a time. Cut the damn root and let the tree just fall on the ground by itself. That's the easiest thing. Cut the root.
Nobody associates these things. Root cause analysis. When America and European nations were white and Christian, we had problems. There was no utopia. We didn't have these problems. And we were not under the threat of complete annihilation, genocide.
Well, the
not
perfect
by accident.
Yeah, go ahead.
Not by accident. It's a purposeful plan. Look at the Kudinov-Kalergi plan. They give an award out. The European Union gives an award out, the Charlemagne Award, to the one who most, you know, represents this will to miscegenize the European people. Hello?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, it's pretty bad. Anyway, I'm going to have to shove off here. I got another a call here in a little bit to be on. So,
yes, sir.
But anyway, any final comments there, Mike?
No, just next steps. Get your own house in order. Pray and analyze yourself where you fall short. Make the corrections and the changes where necessary. And be ready, because that one that is going to lead us will appear soon, and you should be ready.
Amen. Amen. All right, brother. Well, you take care. Yahweh bless your heart. Keep up the good work, buddy.
You too, sir. Yah bless.
Yah bless. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in. I don't know what else to say. It's just amazing. A real quick one here, though, something Mike said that triggered it, and I just now remembered it. The miscegenation of our cultures. I grew up in rural Pennsylvania, white. The school I went to was all white. The problems at the school were children cutting in line at the cafeteria, chewing gum during the class, throwing spitballs at one another. That was the kind of things you dealt with when it was an all-white, homogenous school. Now that we are, quote, diversified, it's rape, extortion, drug abuse, etc. Okay? There's the difference. It's right there in front of your face. If you don't like the truth, well, nothing I can do about that, but it's in your face if you just open your eyes. Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor that you and you alone deserve. We thank you for this opportunity to share truths with our brothers and sisters around this earth. We thank you for the good things that are happening. We pray that they continue. We pray for your coming to be very, very soon. We need you to come back to help straighten this out and to guide us. We are incapable of leading ourselves. That's obvious. We're terrible at it. So please, our ancestors made a mistake and asked for an earthly king. Now we're asking for the King of Kings to come back and sit upon the throne. We cannot lead ourselves. We are despicable individuals. Come back. You made us, Father, in your image. Come back and lead those that love you and want to live in your kingdom, and bring about the flame and the fire that will destroy the terrors and all of the wicked that are on this earth. Be with us and guide us. Forgive us our sins. Watch us. Give us a spirit of courage and not of fear. Give us good discernment and protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.